జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజనాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదానికి జయం నతిలీలా ప్రవిష్ణు విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదానికి ఆనందవుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైదిక దాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామండ రాధాపుడి గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ఓ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింపుల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింపుల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింపుల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరవ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ మంగళే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా పురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నోయత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరతస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాణ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయా తేజో వాయుర్వృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్వో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తభాగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైరవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యతేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరో గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకా సచ్చిదానందరూపాయం విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుభావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమది దీక్షతాం తమోందం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుమువయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణు కొణితాదృతాననిందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతా మురారే మధురీం న కణికాభికావికావి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమన్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః
ವಂದೇ ನಂದಂ ವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀಣಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶಾ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಕೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿಸುಂದರಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಳಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ಮೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಕ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರತೋ ಮಮ. ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾದಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. ದ್ವಿಜ ಉಚ ನಾಯಂ ಜನೋ ಮೇ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಹೇತುರ್ ನ ದೇವದಾಲ್ಪಾ ಗ್ರಹಕರ್ಮ ಕಾಲಾಃ ಮನಃಪರಂ ಕಾರಣಮಾಮನಂದಿ ಸಂಸಾರ ಚಕ್ರಂ ಪರಿವರ್ತಯೇದ್ಯಲ್. ಮನೋಗುಣಾನ್ವಯ ಸೃಜದೇ ಬಲೀಯನ್ ಸದಶ್ಚ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣಾನಿ ಶುಕ್ಲಾನಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾನ್ಯಥ ಲೋಹಿತಾನಿ ತೇಭ್ಯ ಸವರ್ಣ ಸ್ಮರಯೋ ಸ್ಮೃತಯೋ ಭವಂತಿ. ಅನೀಹಮಾಲ್ಮಾ ಮನಸಾ ಸಮೀಹದಾಂ ಹಿರಣ್ಮಯೋ ಮಲ್ಸಗಮುದ್ವಿಜಷ್ಟೇ ಮನಸ್ವಲಿಂಗಂ ಪರಿಗೃಹ್ಯ ಕಾಮಾನ್ ಜುಷನ್ ನಿಬದ್ಧೋ ಗುಣಸಂಗತೋಸೌ. ಧಾನಂ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೋ ನಿಯಮೋ ಯಮಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರುತಂ ಚ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಜಸದ್ವ್ರತಾನಿ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮನೋ ನಿಗ್ರಹಲಕ್ಷಣಾಂದ ಪರೋ ಹಿ ಯೋಗೋ ಮನಸ ಸಮಾಧಿ. ಸಮಾಹಿತಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಮನಃ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಂ ದಾನಾದಿಭೀಕಿಂ ವದ ತಸ್ಯ ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ಅಸಂಯದಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಮನೋ ವಿನಶ್ಯಲ್ ದಾನಾದಿಭಿಶ್ಚೇದಪರಂ ಕಿಮೇಭೀಂ. ಮನೋವಶೇನ್ಯೇ ಭವಂ ದೇವಾಃ ಅನಶ್ಚ ನಾನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ವಶಂ ಸಮೇಧೀಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮೋ ಹಿ ದೇವಾ ಸಹಸ ಸಹೀಯಾನ್ ಇಂಜ್ವಾದ್ವಶೇತಂ ಸಹಿ ದೇವದೇವಾ.
So yesterday we were discussing this verse, the 48th verse, where Krishna is saying that all devadas also, means all demigods, they are also dependent on the on our mind. When Krishna says what it means is our senses are all actually the presence of the demigods are present in our senses, and senses are controlled by the mind. Senses are controlled by the mind, and because it's like that, Krishna says that if the mind has come under control, then demigods don't exist in the body anymore. Mind is in charge everywhere. In other words, all the demigods are present in the mind through this agency of senses. That's how it is. That the mind has this habit of not allowing to be controlled by anybody. Mind is very independent that way. So, because the demigods are present in the senses, and because the senses are under the control of the mind, if the mind comes under control, demigods are also not in a position to cross any problems. They are also under our control. Our control means not in the material sense. What it means is that the demigods won't act anything independently anymore with the body, with the
body. So mind is controlling everything all the time, and mind controls in its own way what it does. It does it. So it is through the mind that all administration happens in this body. It's through the mind that all the administration happens in this body. That is why he says there, Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan. Injuardashetam sahi deva deva. So, deva deva. Therefore, this mind is supreme among the devadas also. Among the devadas also. Because everything what is happening, whether you can, sometimes you can tolerate certain things in life. Capacity to tolerate. Sometimes you can't tolerate. Who is deciding that? The mind. Mind decides that, whether you can tolerate it or not tolerate it. So, and if you have surrendered to, if you have managed to make that mind to surrender, then Krishna is saying here, he has become Sahi Deva Deva. He is even superior to the demigods then. If he has managed to get this mind under control, then he has become even more powerful than the demigods. Sahi Deva Deva, Krishna is saying there. Bhishmo hi Deva Sahasa Sahiyan. Injuadvashetam Sahi Deva Deva. He has become Deva Deva. So, because all the powers in this world are under control of this mind. And once who has managed to keep the mind under control, he is more powerful than anyone else. And as long as the mind does not come under control, in that case, what you have to say is this, that whatever mind has allowed you to do it, that's all you are able to do it here. Whatever mind is allowed to do it, that's all you can do, as long as you are under the control of the mind. But once you have managed to get the mind under control, then you can do things which mind cannot do. That's also there in that statement. Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan. Is Krishna saying, Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan. He can tolerate everything, but if he has come under control. Injuadvashetam sahi deva deva. And if others, everything has come, if he has come under your control, sahi deva deva, you have become so higher in everything. So, when Krishna says, sahasa sahiyan, that means, what is that capacity to tolerate everything, to bear anything, to accept anything? What does that mean? It means that, you have to understand this, no matter what happens, it doesn't affect you. That's what it means. Things are happening, but it doesn't affect you. That means, jiva is breaking away from the mind. It's happening, mind is getting affected, but I'm not getting affected. That situation. Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan. That's what he's saying. Not that it will not go away. Experience will still be there. In the jnani's case, great devotee's case, that's what happens. They manage to break away from the mind and come off. That means experience in the world will be there in the mind. Mind has got its vasana, mind has got the modes of nature. But jiva has managed not to identify with the mind. That break, that separation has happened between the jiva and the mind. So that is why you can see this in practical examples. Bhishma Pitamaha, he was lying on the bed of arrows for 58 days. It is on the 58th day, on the 18th day war was over. In the middle, Bhishma fell, and then Arjuna made the bed of arrows for Bhishma to lie. Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. It is on the 58th day, Krishna goes there with all the Pandavas and every other rishis like Dhaumya, Vedavyas and all together goes to see Bhishma on the 58th day after the war. War started and then on the 58th day this happens. So 58 days almost, Bhishma has been on this bed of arrows. And you have to remember this, that on the 58th day when they saw him, he was lying on the arrows and all these very, very sharp arrows have gone through his flesh into the body. Has gone the flesh into the body. And he was smiling. He was smiling. He was not feeling any distress, no unhappiness and no complaint. Not even he say that I want to drink some water or I'm feeling the pain. And I'm feeling hungry, I'm feeling sleepy. No such thing from Bhishma. No such thing from Bhishma. Because why is that? He was situated in the platform of the soul. Situated in the platform of the soul. This is to indicate to us that the mind has nothing to do with Bhishma anymore. But body was going through all the things. But he is not identifying with the body. He was released from that. So in order to lie like that for so many days on a bed of arrows, without food, without drink, and without sleep, and experiencing the pain, you can imagine how much power he must have had. What an amount of power he must have had. And that is why exactly this our Avadhuta Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana, has used Bhishma as an example. And used that word Bhishma itself. Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan yunju advashetam sahi deva deva. He is more than a demigod. Who? Bhishma. Because of that separation from the mind, able to come out of it and remain in his position as Alpa, situated on the platform of the soul, not at all identifying with the body or the mind. Not at all identifying with the body. So, because of this, that Bhishma sound, what Avadhuta Brahmana has used, the purpose was this, behind that. That person who has taken such intense vows, and at the same time, and Bhishma Pratijna, they call it, Bhishma's decision-making power. That power, once you make a decision, able to hold on to that. So, saha saha deva deva, and all other demigods surrenders to that mind. And mind normally doesn't surrender to anybody. Mind doesn't normally surrender to anybody. Normal nature, habit with the mind is, it controls everyone and keeps it under his control. Keeps it under his control. And that mind comes from Maya. You can see, often Krishna will use this word, Vidhi Maya Manomayam. He says, Maya Mayam Manomayam. Mind is a product of Maya. Mind is a product of Maya. In this, why? Because modes of nature is mind. Modes of nature is mind. So, therefore, he says here, after this mind has come under control, after that, he is the Deva of Deva. All the Devadas Deva he is. Sahi Deva Deva, he's saying there, isn't it? And in fact, after the mind has come under control, you don't have to anymore depend on any Devadas, any gods, or any kind of sadhana. You don't have to do. You don't have to do any kind of sadhana. Because everything is in the mind. Everything is in the mind. So, such a person, he is the greatest personality who has got this mind under control. Jnani or great bhakta, whatever it is, that is him. So, when this mind expands, that is material existence. When the mind expands, that is material existence. And when the mind contracts, then you escape from the mind. Vikasam Sankocham, they call it. In the Jnana Margam, they call it Vikasam Sankocham. Vikasam Sankocham. In the vacant state, it expands. And in the dream state, it expands further. It expands in the vacant state, but expands further in the dream state. In the deep sleep, it closes. That's what happens, isn't it? So, and this mind, where did that come from? It came from false ego. Remember that? Ahangaram takes to three, breaks into three. Satvika Ahangaram, Rajasa Ahangaram, Tamasa Ahangaram. Satvika Ahangaram comes the mind. Rajasa Ahangaram comes the senses. Tamasa Ahangaram comes the body. Gross body. Material elements, in other words. Tanmatra. Tanmatra. They come from the... So, Ahangaram... So, mind has come from the Ahangaram. And Ahangaram, where did that come from? Ahangaram means false ego. That came from avidya. It came from avidya. And what is avidya? Avidya is three modes of nature. Maya Swarupam. Maya Swarupam. So, it is from this mind that these three modes of nature expands. These three modes of nature operates from the mind. Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, because these three modes of nature has built up inside, in the mind, desires have come. Desires have come from that. And because of desires, what happened? Karma. Because of karma, what happens? The karma, results will come from the karma, isn't it? Phalam, karma phalam. And phalam means what? You have to enjoy it, the results. Phalabhukti, they call it. Phalabhukti. So, and because of phalabhukti, what happens? Because of the karmam, karmam's results, janmam. Whatever karmam we have done, and if the results are coming from that, in order to consume that results, you need to take birth again. Janmam. Therefore, janmam. And so janmam will change according to your karmam. And according to your janmam and to your karmam, these three modes of nature, it will take the life, the birth, in either one of these three, sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. So where is all the material existence? Material existence is in the mind. You can see how it operates. Mind has come from ahankaram, false ego. And in the mind, the three modes of nature, material nature is working. And because three modes of nature is there, tamogunam, desires have come. When we say three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. If the tamogunam is there in the mind, more desire for action. More action means more results. More results means more life, birth, to consume all that results, more birth. And more birth means, again, more action. Because there will be sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam inside. And this is how that material existence, what Avanti Brahmana has spoken about. And he is trying to tell us that the whole thing is inside this mind. Inside this mind. And where is the mind? Mind is in the ahankaram. Mind is inside the ahankaram. And ahankaram is in the avidya. Avidya is in maya. Avidya is in maya. In like this, one by one you can see that step by step how it develops. So once we have managed to block all these things by blocking the mind, then and you come to realize your identity as Atma, as spirit soul, with that material existence is gone. There is no more material existence. That is the principle. So that is what the important point here, making here. So suppose you could not do it in this way, what he has spoken about, then you will be in material existence for a long time to come. And sometimes in the material existence, sometimes not in that way. So for example, a realized soul, he has studied Shastram, for example, and he has performed a karmam. But even though he has studied Shastram and he has performed karmam properly, still, in spite of that, only if you have got the mind under control, then only you can transcend the mind. That means the mind should be, you should be able to transcend the mind. Otherwise, suppose you have studied the Shastram and you have managed to act in this world based on the Shastric injunctions. Let it be like that. But still, if he has not brought this mind under control, control means that mind has to subdue itself, surrender itself. If it has not happened, he cannot escape from here. So, because this you can see, how do you notice this? You will notice this. Say a realized soul, jnani, or a great sannyasi. But as soon as death comes, he becomes very weak. He becomes weak. All the strength goes away. People who are running around in this world, big things they have done, and they were spiritually very advanced, and they had realizations, everything. But as soon as that moment of death comes, very close to your death, you become weak. You become weak. What can be done? You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. There are many cases. There was one Swami Abhedananda who lived some time ago. He was considered very well by, respected by the sannyasi societies. Among the sannyasis, he was respected very much. But at the time of death, when the body became very weak, helpless, they had to take him to hospital. They had to take him to hospital where he left his body. So at that time you could see that all his power, all his potency, what he had before, has all left the body. So Bhishma is saying here also the same thing. The body is going to go. And he says, when should I leave this body? That's what Bhishma is saying there. In the Bhagavatam you will see there that Bhishma decided to give the body. That is why he was called a Swachandamrityu, isn't it? He had got the independence to make that decision when to leave the body. So in Jnani's case, that is the situation. Or great devotees also, they have the same situation. They have, body will go weak, but they will have the choice when to leave the body. They will have the choice to when to leave the body. That choice they have. But body will definitely go it will get weakened at the time of death. That will go its own way. So other people, in others' cases, who makes the decision? Mind makes the decision. Say for example, in our case, who will make the decision? Mind will make the decision. When to die. In the mind, it will, that's the way Krishna explained that before, isn't it? That mrityu atyanta vismrati, that happens. So in our case, it is like that. But in the jnani's case, they have that freedom to make the decision when to leave the body. So because those mahalpas who have reached that state in through knowledge and realization, and they are always in full control of the situations. They can make the decision and they can make that happen. They don't need anything else. And they can keep their body as long as they want, and they can throw away the body when they want. They can throw away when they want it. So when the mind comes under control, that power inside, that experience inside, you cannot say that to what extent he is in control. It's very difficult to say that if the mind has come under control. Because material existence is manomayam. It's manomayam it is. Manomayam means what? Manomayam means it is all in the mind. Nothing outside. Material existence is inside the mind. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, if you remember, Vidhi Maya Manomayam, he says. It is mayamayam, manomayam, both. If you look into the seventh chapter in the Agastya Skandam, you will see there, Vidhi maya manomayam, Krishna is saying. Yadidam manaso vacha chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. He says, Yadidam manasa vacha chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. You remember when Uddhava Upadesham started, instructions to Uddhava started, that is one of the first verses Krishna has spoken. The words, Tondu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajane Bandushu Mayavesha Manasamyak Samadrak Vijarasogam. That is the key verse in the Ekadasha Skandam. It is the expansion of that verse. And whole of Bhagavadam, Ekadasham is expansion of that sixth verse. And after that, Tondu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham says to Uddhava, Sneham Swajane Bandushu Mayavesha Manasamyak Samadrak Vijarasogam says to Uddhava. And then the next one is, in this world, which is how one can, Krishna says to Uddhava, Samadrik, in that verse, isn't it? Samadrik. That was the instruction in that verse. You remember? In the sixth verse. Tontu sarvam parityajya. First give up all attachment to this world. Sarvam parityajya. Like what happened to Avadhuta Brahmana. Sarvam paritejya, including sneham sojane bandushu, to your own people, give up the connections, to your own people. Sneham sojanam bandushu, give up all that attachment, Krishna is saying. Then after that, maya aveshya mana, be completely fixed up in me, in Krishna, in Atma, in other words, in the self. completely situated in the self, then Krishna is saying, samyak. Never to come out of it. Remain in that state, samyak. Then Krishna says, samadrik, with equal vision. Equal vision to all other living beings in this world. Vicharasvagam, walk through this world, he says to Uddhava. In that verse, in the sixth verse. But in the very next verse, Krishna is saying that this world is a mixture of three modes of nature. Is it not? How can one walk through this world equal mind? Because modes of nature will catch you straight away. Will it not? That's what happens. Because of the modes of nature only, we are feeling this differentiation between people. It's coming from that. So after saying that words, Krishna realized that Uddhava's doubt, when Krishna looked at Uddhava's face, he could see this. How is this possible to walk through this world with samadrik? So to clarify that, Krishna is saying that understand what this world is first. He's saying to Uddhava. And that world is yadidam manasa vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi snashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. This world is nothing but whatever you are talking about here is manasam. Manasam. It is from the mind everything is coming. It is all included. It is all packaged inside our mind. Yadidam manaso vaja. Then chakshu. And whatever you speak, it's all coming from the mind. Whatever you hear, it's all coming from the mind. Whatever you see here, because experience is in the mind, isn't it? You are seeing something, it is in the mind, the experience. You are hearing something, experience is in the mind. You are speaking something, it's coming from the mind. And yadidam manaso vaja chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi nashvaram, they all have no meaning. Grihyamanam cha, know this very well, vidhi maya manomayam, they are all maya or it is mind. Mind and maya together are doing that, you have nothing to do with it. This is Krishna's message to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, realize this and walk through this world in that way and you will escape from here. That is the first instruction. And then if you look also in the same way, in the 28th chapter also, again Krishna is bringing that back to him. He says there that that in the fourth verse, Kim Badram, Kim Abadram Vadvaidasya Vastuna Kiel, Vajodidam Tadanurdam Manaso Dhyadame Vava. You see that? Kim Badram, Kim Abadram Va. What is Badram, what is Abadram here? What is right and what's wrong in this world, he says. Telling Uddhava, what's right and wrong here? Kim badram, kim abhadram va? Dvaitasyam vastuna kiyal. All here, what it is there is dundum, duality, nothing else. In this duality, we are comparing one to another and saying, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. Krishna is saying that, kim badram, kim abhadram va? Dvaitasyam vastuna kiyal. Then, vajo odidam tad anurdam. Everything what you are talking here, through your vajodidam tadanurdam, it's all a lie, he says. Manasodhyadame vava, because it's been come from the mind. Therefore it's a lie. And he will mention there also that the if you look into the seventh verse, Tasman Nahyalpano, the same chapter, 28. Tasman Nahyalpano Anyal Asma Danya Bhavo Nirubidaha. Nirubideyam trivida nirmula bhadiralpmani idam gunamayam vidhi trividham mayaya kritam. See that? Idam gunamayam vidhi trividham mayaya kritam. It's all gunamayam. It's all under the three modes of material nature. It's been created by maya. He says that, look at the word, how Krishna puts it. Krishna says there, you can see, Krishna says there, tasmam Altmano Anyasman Anyabhavo Nirubidaha. Here he says, Tasman Anyasad Alpana Anyabhava na Nirubida Bhavati. He says to Uddhava like this, Uddhava, from the seventh chapter we have started discussing this. Up to now, this is almost the end of Uddhava instructions to Uddhava. Uddhava Padesham. So he says, from seventh chapter right up to this point. Or you can say from the beginning of the Bhagavatam right up to this point, he says, I have not discussed anything except Atma. This is how Krishna says. That shows that Krishna is only speaking from the platform of the soul. He doesn't want to talk anything about Maya. There's no point in discussing about Maya. That is the reason behind. Can you imagine that? He says here, because it is like that, tasman anyasthad, tasman hyalpano anyasman, anyabhavo na nirubhida. Anyabhavam. Anyabhavam means outside Atma. Nothing has been discussed here in the Bhagavad. Nothing has been discussed except Atma, he says. Nirubideyam trivitha nirmula bhadiralmani. So, why it is like that? Except Atma, nothing else has been discussed. Because nirmula trividham trivitha iyam almani bhadi. In the form of Adibhaudhikam, Adhyalmikam, Adidevikam, in these three ways, this material existence, what we are living in this world, our material existence, that it is present in front of us. But that is also present there because Atma is there. Atma is the Adhishtanam basis. Adhishtana Satta, it is called. Adhishtana Satta means The basis. If Atma is not there, Maya cannot be there. Because Atma is there, Maya is there. And Krishna is saying, we don't discuss Maya, we discuss Atma. And that is what I have discussed so far, he says too. Because our attention can very easily move away from Atma and go into Maya and start discussing Maya. Krishna says, we don't discuss Maya. We discuss Atma. Atma, that's the only thing I have discussed, Krishna is saying. Maya may be there, may not be there. Because Maya is not real. That is why. Maya is not real. Maya is something due to the presence of Atma. Atma creates this Maya. Atma creates this Maya. You remember when we began the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vedavyasa Maharshi, before he started compiling Bhagavatam, he saw Krishna standing there, and next to Krishna, Maya is standing there, taking Krishna's shelter. Do you remember that verse? In the first canto, you will see that. That is what this is. That is spoken in a different way, that's all. Vastu is the same. The topic is the same, but it is spoken in a different way. Spoken in a different way. Here, because it's the end of Bhagavatam, Krishna is speaking in a philosophical way. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it is spoken more in a personal way, so to say. In a more personal way. So people can easily relate with that. When you say Krishna is standing there, Maya is standing there. So we will see, Maya is standing there. As soon as you say it's a person, it's more easy to relate with. So that's the only reason. So if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see there, it is in the first canto, probably in the 5th or 6th chapter. When Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he saw there Maya standing next to him and paying her respects to Krishna. Where does that go now? So, If you look at the 7th chapter, you will see 174. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihito male apashyal purusham purvam mayam chatadupashrayam. That's that verse. That's what it is. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihito male apashyal purusham purvam mayam chatadupashrayam. He says there that the that bhakti yogena manasi, through bhakti, if the mind has become completely pure, or purified mind means that the it has become very focused, concentrated that way. There Vedavya saw samyak pranihido male amale. Amale means impure mind, that is. Apashyat purusham purvam. First he saw Krishna there in the mind. And mayam cha tadupashrayam. And taking Krishna shelter, Maya Devi also saw. That is the same thing that is spoken in a story pattern. But philosophically, this is the correct statement. What Krishna is saying there in the 28th chapter. I have not discussed anything except Atma, Krishna says. Everything what we have spoken so far about is Atma. Atma is called Adhishtana Satta. Adhishtana Satta means that without Atma, nothing can exist. Therefore, Atma is the important thing, not Maya. And Maya, I do not have to discuss, Krishna says. I have not reviewed Maya, he says. I have not evaluated Maya. I have discussed with you, Uddhava, only about Atma. That is what matters to us, he says. So, here again, so you can see now why he says that everything everything is mayamayam. One way it is mayamayam, otherwise you can say it is manomayam. Because manas and maya are together, you see now. Maya is present in the mind. So therefore it is manomayam or it is mayamayam. That's and that material existence is therefore is manomayam. Manomayam is material existence. And if the mind has come under control, and then means you have come out of the material existence. You have come out of the material existence. And if the mind is not under control, then the life is a failure. Life is a failure. That's what Krishna is saying here. Life is a failure. There's nothing you can do, anything more than that. It's a failure as far as Krishna is concerned. So so that is that verse, 48th verse Krishna is talking about. Mano vashenyehavamsma devaha manaschananyasya vasham sameti bhishmohi deva sahasas sahiyan injuadvashetam sahi deva deva injuadvashetam sahi deva deva. So much importance given to getting this mind under control. Mind under control means what? It's not that mind will act in the same way like before it did. All the happiness and distress of the mind will still come to the mind. But you have learned to break away from the mind. That's what it is. That means mind has come under control. You're not listening to the mind anymore. Mind is independent, but you are not the mind anymore. Practically like self-realization state, that is, isn't it? So that is an important point. Krishna is saying that. So yesterday when we were discussing this verse, mentioned about this, that at the old age, it's a bit too late to do what the Brahmana is saying. Because so many years of our life, we have created so much vasanas inside. And therefore, it has come to a state now that practically we are helpless about it. Vardhake che indriyanam vigada gadimadi shadi devadi tape. What does it mean? It means then, senses have become very weak. Vigada gadimadi shadi devadi tape. Not only that, body is giving a lot of trouble. Papai rogair viyogai stvana vasita vabu praudihinam cha dhinam. That means due to our own sinful activities, what we have done in this life or in the previous lives, it has started coming, manifesting in the body, in the form of disease. Purva janma kritam papam vyadhi rupena jayate. When we get older, many diseases come, and that is a manifestation of our purva janma kritam papam, for things what we have done in the past. So rogam comes, and then viyogam comes. Viyoga means separation from different people whom with whom we had relationships in this world. Stvanavasidavapu praudihinam chadinam. Then your strength in the body has gone. So praudihinam chadinam. So that means you are also started realizing that this body is also not going to be of any much help to you anymore.
Mithya moha bilasher brahmadi mama mano dur jadeer dhyana shunyam.
Then so many other things what we have cultivated in this life, particularly in relationship with so many illusions we have created with us, isn't it? What's that illusion? Illusion is this, that this so-called family, so-called friends, so-called society will be with me. This is an illusion in everyone's head, isn't it? So he says, mithya, although it is all false, centered around them, I have created a world in my mind. Moha bhilashaihi, a lot of illusion and lot of desire centered around all that. Brahmadi mama mano, it is brahmam. It creates a kind of brahmam. Brahmam means in my mind, I'm getting perplexed with the whole thing. I get completely baffled with the whole thing.
Brahmadi mama mano durjaneer dhyana shunyam.
And I'm then trying to use that mind to get some focus on Krishna. Focus on Krishna. Somehow or the other I am trying to focus on Krishna, but mind is not able to do it at that time.
Durjadeer dhyana shunyam.
Dhyana shunyam. It's not developing that meditation in the mind. It's not able to do that. Therefore, chandavyo me aparadaha. You have to forgive me, says to Krishna. You have to forgive me because I can't do it. Old age is like that. You want to do it. You realize it. Everything was a waste of time, like the Brahmana said. But you can't do anything about it. It's too late.
Chandavyo me aparadaha shiva 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 bho shri mahadeva shambho.
Addressing this devotee saying, shiva 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 bho, what can I do? Protect me, shelter me, shri mahadeva shambho. That is the way they pray. At that time, there is nothing you can do about it. It's too late and the mind is not going to listen to us. So, that is why yesterday when we were discussing this, we mentioned there also that, remember, chitta and chinta, we talked about.
Chitta dahadi nirjivam chinta pranayitam vabhu.
Chinta burns you with life in the body. Chitta burns only your body at the end, isn't it? So, worry is created by whom? Who creates this worry inside, tension, everything? The mind. So, mind is the trouble. Mind is the trouble spot. The trouble spot. When is the mind in trouble? Because remember yesterday we spoke about two kinds. One is prakritam and the other one is samskritam. Prakritam mind is, that is one which is controlled by the world as well as the vasanas. When the world and the vasanas are controlling the mind, that is prakritam. When the third factor, which is your own effort, which is jnanam, bhakti, whatever that may be, when that involves, can start controlling the mind, it is samskritam, it's purified mind. That is why he says, that mind is wonderful, whereas the prakritam mind is trouble, it's trouble. Prakrita mind is trouble. Samskrita mind is wonderful. How do you know? Because if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see. If you look into the 12th chapter, Krishna says there, Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami. Sandushta satatam yogi yadalpa drada nishchaya may arpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta samaya priya. Krishna is saying that. 12:12, something like that. 12:10, I think. 13, 14, yeah. All of them then. 12:13 maybe, yeah. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. That two verses, if you take, you will see there. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna yevacha. This is the symptom of a Sanskrita mind. A mind which has become Sanskritam will be like that. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna yevacha. Nurmamo nirahangara samadhukham sukhakshami. Then what else? Sandushta satatam yogi yat alma drada nishchaya may arpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta samaya priyaha. Isn't it? Yeah, 13 and 14. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So you can see his mind and intelligence is fixed in me, either through bhakti or through jnanam, it doesn't matter. But it is fixed in Krishna or Alma, in some way it is. So that is what he is saying here, that those two verses. So you can never say that the mind is terrible, because we should always say that the mind has got a Prakrita mind, or mind has got, sometimes we say, oh, my mind is so bad. No, you shouldn't say that's wrong. I have got a bad mind, Prakrita mind. I don't have a Sanskrita mind. That is why it is. You see? If you have a Prakrita mind, it will behave in a one way. If you have a Sanskrita mind, it will behave in a different way. Krishna, what talks about in that 12th chapter is that Sanskrita mind nature. Nature of the Sanskrita mind. So, that is why Prakrita mind gives trouble. Sanskrita mind doesn't give trouble. Prakrita mind gives the trouble. And that is why when Prakrita mind gives trouble, they want to go to sleep. That's when we want to go to sleep. Remember, when we have some too many problems in the world, what do? We say, go to sleep. Forget about this world, isn't it? So at least the worry will go. But when worry gets worse, you can't sleep. That's also there, isn't it? So also the how powerful it is, that is what he says here. Sahasa sahiyan, he says here. Sahasa sahiyan. So it is stronger than the strongest. This mind is stronger than the strongest. So in life there is only one success, Krishna is saying, which is worthwhile, that this is the only success. That means leaving to be able to handle the own mind, my own mind. For example, so all other things, external success and failure is not in our hand. Success in the world and the failure there is not in our hand. So just like in business, one may succeed, one may not succeed. There are so many factors controlling that. But internal success, where you can handle the, which can handle the external success and failure, is the real success. Internal success, that means the success of the mind, controlling the mind, which can handle the external success and failure, is the real success. Is the real success. Not the success in the world. Generally people say like that, isn't it? Oh, he's so big, he has become such a big person, or he amassed so much wealth, or he has done so many big, big things, all that. Krishna says there that that is not the big thing. But if you have succeeded in getting your mind under control and that can handle the external success and failure in the world, that is your success. That's the way our Avanti Brahmana is saying the Brahmana is saying like that. Bhikshu is saying like that, isn't it? So he says that yunjyadvashetam sahi deva deva. See that word? Yunjyadvashetam sahi deva deva. Yunjyadvasham tam sahi deva deva. One who has got a mind under his control. Vasham. Sahi deva deva. So successful who brings the mind under his own control. And so for the third factor, what Krishna said, that discrimination, power of discrimination of Vivekam. He is the God of all gods, he is saying, Sahi Deva Deva. He is the divine Devanamavide. Therefore, start internal fight. So our problem is this internal problem. So actually, spirituality begins when I start this project of controlling the mind. That's when the spirituality begins. If I have religion, what it does, he says there, religion, what it will do is, it will tell you, oh, my children are not acting properly, they should behave better. And, or grandchildren, they should be settled properly in life. These kind of things. This is all religion. And that means we are a materialistic person. And religion is materialistic. Yunjad, he uses the word here. So mastering the mind is what is called spirituality. Mastering the mind is called spirituality. After saying this, Krishna says in the next verse that this the nature of this mind, without understanding this, what Krishna has said in this verse, without understanding the principle behind it, what the people do in this world. He's going to say that. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arundudam tanna vijitya kechil kuvanda sadvigriha matra martyer mitrani udasina ripun vimodhaha. This is a very important verse. Why it is important is, you will see, Krishna says, what will happen to you at the time of death. This verse is an indication to all of us to take note of this, that what death is going to do to you. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arundudam tanna vijitya kechil kurvan asadvigraha matra martyer mitrani udasina ripun vimudhaha. He says, asahya vegam arundudam durjayam tam shatrum na vijitya. Ye kejil atra marte asad vigraham kurvandi tan mitrani udasinan ripun chakurvandi te vimudha bhavandi. He says, this mind which travels so fast, mind is very fast, isn't it, compared to anything else. There is nothing much faster than the mind. So even if you travel at the supersonic speed, you can't reach the speed of the mind. As soon as I say somebody is in America, as soon as I think about him, I am there with him. That fast is the mind. The speed of the mind, they say. Even if you travel, you have to take so much time to get there. But the mind is capable of taking you there straight away. That is the speed of the mind, they say. So, he says, that mind, and which is also capable of arundudam asahya vegam first. Asahya vegam means so fast it is. Then what else? Arundudam. Arundudam means it's capable of shattering you completely. The mind can do things and it can completely destroy you. Sometimes you will see, sometimes when they get this heart attack, what happens is something happens in life. Already they had a difficult situation with the health. And suddenly a shock comes in life and the mind shuts down, whole thing. A shock. Where does that happen? Happens in the mind. With that the body collapses, drops down, dead, finished. That's it. So that's that arundudam means. Arundudam means it can shatter you completely. And at the same time, asakya vegam arundudam tanna vijitya kejil. And if you want to get control over him, you cannot. You cannot. It is so difficult. And if you don't win over this mind, what will happen? He's talking about normal people. Those people who has not got control over this mind, what they will do? kurvandi asad vigraham atramartyer, that they will see, they will quarrel with each other in this world. They'll quarrel with others in this way. And then what they will do, they will make three columns with the people in their list. And they'll put them in one of this list. He is my friend, he is my enemy, he is neutral. Like this. Mitram Udasinan Ripu. And you will change this column and columns all the time. We'll take somebody from this column and putting into the other column. And after a while we bring him from that column to this column. This is our life here, is it not? That is what Krishna is saying to us. Mitram Udasina Ripun Vimudaha, he says. He is the most stupid person in this world, he says. He creates these three columns first. Mitram Udasina Ripu. All he does is, this is the whole life. If you look at it, you can see that you will be shifting them from one column to another. The shifting people from one column to another is life. Mitram column, Udasina column, Ripu column. Friends, neutral, enemy. Today somebody is your friend. After some vyavaharam, something went wrong, he has become enemy. Moved him to the last column. Some enemy, by some reason he said something good about you or he did something for you, you say to him, come to this column, he says. You brought him from there to this column. And there is this middle one, which is Udasinan. He's not causing any serious trouble to you. You've seen him somewhere, but no, it's not much of a vyavaharam with him. Vyavaharam is with these two, the first one and the last one. And they are the two serious ones to look at, who can cause all the problems. So, Mitran Udasina Ripun Vimudaha Tam Durjayam Shatrum Asahya Vegam Arundu Damdanna Vijitya Kechal Kurvandi Asad Vigraham Atramartir Mitran Udasina Ripun Vimudaha. So, Krishna's point is here that the Bhikshu is saying here that if you want to really, and what they do is, after creating the three columns, they start fighting, isn't it? We start fighting with the three. And at that time, but Krishna is saying, if you want to really make a fight with the mind, he says. Don't fight with all these people outside, fight with your own mind. Therefore, learn to fight every mind. What mind? The mind is a pragrida mind. It is there that you are fighting, which is your real enemy, not these three columns. They are not your enemy, Krishna is saying. It is this mind that is your enemy. So fighting with that pragrida mind and convert that mind into a samskrita mind, into a purified mind. So that is, Krishna says, that is success. That is called success. So, so that is why you will see this. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita also, that you got to fight with your mind. There's no other way. Instead of fighting with the world outside, fighting with the mind. If you look into the fifth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this. Fifth chapter. He says there that the Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. So, before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges, this is what we are talking about, this fight with the mind. Able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the forces of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. So that is that statement Krishna says here. So one who fights with his own mind, such a person, and converts it into friendly mind. who does not cause any more problem to you. So that is the fight which he is saying here with our own mind. You are unnecessarily fighting with the people, he says, only converting people into friends. Because by fighting with the people, what do? We make them as friends, enemies, and or also the neutral state. And that is only a futile fight, what we do with the world, with the external world, which will not make any change in the quality of our life, he says here. So, fighting with the external world cannot change the quality of life so long as the mind is prakritam. So the mind is manana. That is why he said there, kechid, foolish people, arundudam tanna vijitya. They are not mastering the mind. They are not mastering the mind. They are not even attempting to understand and make the and master the mind, because they have not diagnosed the problem itself. They have not understood the problem itself. And therefore, it's like this, they say, for a headache you are taking a stomach medicine. In a similar way, it is not going to solve the problem. So that is why, kejil tanna vijitya, without handling the mind, he says, durjayam. Then he says then, tam durjayam shatru asahya vegam. That shatru asahya vegam. Because these forces, powerful forces, which are present there, for example, what we say, the six different problems, isn't it? Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, lust, anger, greed, all those things, envy and competition, all these things are the soldiers or present inside the mind who are ready to fight with us, isn't it? It is, each one is an army of its own. All of them have their own army, works there. And if you let loose any one of these forces, it's like a cyclone hitting the coastal area. So Krishna is saying here, asakhya vegad, he says here, asakhya vegam arundudam, it says, asakhya vegam, the speed with which the mind react in certain situations is like that, because it has got these powerful warriors with them, which one, kamam, krodham, mind let them loose, and if they come out, then they can go and attack anything, and they will create the situation. So, at an infinity engine, so which is capable of affecting or afflicting or affecting all our vital faculties. These forces, if they come out and start attacking, it affects our everything in us, isn't it? Our life. That that is, Krishna has spoken about that in the Bhagavad Gita. Remember that? How they affect us? He has spoken that before. He mentioned there that if you remember, krodhal bhavadi samoham, samohal samudhi vibhramam, smriti bhramshal buddhinashal anashariya. That's what it is. So mind is capable of doing that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Mind is capable of krodhal bhavadi samoha, samohal smriti vibhramaha. From anger, krodhal bhavadi samoha. From anger comes delusion. Samohal smriti vibhrama. Because of that, you lose your memory. Forgetfulness comes. Smriti bhramshal buddhi nasham. When forgetfulness has come, then you lost your intelligence. Intelligence means buddhi nasham. Buddhi nasham means that smriti bhramshal buddhi nasham. Buddhi nasham means not knowing who you are. You're like a rakshasa then, isn't it? When you are under the grip of any of them, you're like a rakshasa or asura then. So smriti bhramshal buddhi nasham. Buddhi nasham, what happens? Pranashyadi. You fall. So when you are emotionally disturbed, that is what Krishna is saying here. That tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arundudam tanna vijitya kejil. That if you do not try to control the mind and get these things under control, mind has a huge army there. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. They will come out and start the fight. And once they start the fight, how they fight is what is that verse is talking about. Krodhal bhavadi samoha, samohal smriti vibhrama, smriti bhramshal buddhinasho, buddhinashal pranashyadi. You fall. So, Arundhudam. And Arundhudam also, you can see that it influences your whole body in every level, isn't it? Senses gets disturbed. Pranan, you can see, pranan gets into trouble. Your intelligence is affected. And it affects the whole physical body because of all what? And then you say, you are stressed. You say, you are stressed. That's when we say we are stressed. I am stressed out, you say. A lot of stress, he says. So you have what you have to do when you get stressed? You have to de-stress that. You have to de-stress when you get stressed. So what should I do? De-stress. Arundhudam. So without controlling the mind, Krishna is saying, complaining about family, complaining about the wife, complaining about the husband, complaining about the children, it's all not the solution to the problem. It is not going to solve any problem. They will all happen in its own way. There's nothing we can do about it. So, if at all you have to want to complain about somebody, you have to complain about the mind. Complain about the mind. And without handling the mind, all our activities are a waste of time. That is what he's saying here. That he says that mudaha asad vigraham kurvandi. See that? Kurvandi asad vigraham. Because asad vigraham means what? All these things. Wife, husband, children, friends, enemies. These are all asad vigraham. They are not sad vigraham. They are all asad vigraham. So Krishna is saying here, kurvandi asad vigraham atram arthir. Human society, what it does is, kurvandi asad vigraham atram arthir. That he holds on to this asad vigraham and start blaming them for everything. Vigraha means wasteful or futile, he says here. In this world, Krishna says, unintelligent people are fighting with the people of this world instead of fighting with their own mind, with their own mind. Fighting with the world, what's going to happen? Krishna asks that you're only going to rearrange. When you're fighting with the world, what you do, you are rearranging these three columns again. Whole life you are rearranging it, isn't it? If you look at it that way, you can see there that in one column in your list, there is Mitrani. Mitrani means the friends. Friends column. When you make your marriage invitations, you are searching the list. Then every moment you are making, should I invite him or not? Is he in my list? Oh, he's very close to me. I should send the invitation to him. Somebody else? No. He has done this to me. I'm not going to invite him for the marriage. Mitrani. Then there is Udasina list. Or your birthday party, anything you take it, doesn't matter marriage, but birthday party also. Even among the children you see this. It is very sad, isn't it? We have injected this into them. Apparently that is supposed to be the right thing to do in the modern world. That you have to make this list, friend and enemy. And you want to realize the truth as well. Small children in the 5-year-old, 6-year-old, they start talking, he's my friend, he's my enemy. We have injected this very strongly into them. Somebody is your friend and somebody is your enemy. What possibility is there? Imagine. And then after injecting it so deeply into the system, then the rest of the life you are trying to get rid of it from the system. First of all, we have injected the wrong thing into their head. Isn't it? Especially small children in the, not in the next class, a little bit in the primary classes, you see, they are very particular about who should they should invite for their birthday and who should they should not. So all sorts of discussions goes on, and you will see the mothers and the children having discussion about it. So there itself you can notice this. Already they have made the list, and then the list will only get enlarged in due course of time. As you grow up bigger and bigger, the list gets bigger in the same way. So, the third one is less troublesome, neutral. But the first one, some people are friends, but we look at them and put them in, some people in their enemy list and some people in the friends list. So we'll say, oh, they're all family members, so it should be in this list. Until now, they were good, but not good anymore. It's not very friendly with us anymore. Sometimes, in that list, son and daughter also can come. Initially they were good. The son was good to you. He was acting properly. He was listening to you. But something happened. He decided to get married and whom you didn't like, and you went along with them, and then he is not invited anymore. Because why? He has moved from this list to the other list. This all happens. This is our life in this world, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here, reshuffling this list will not help, he is saying. That's Krishna's advice. Krishna is saying, reshuffling this list will not help, because the same worry, same fear, same anxiety, that will always be there. What I have done is, I have relocated from one to another. And what a powerful statement. Krishna says, Mitran Udasinan Ribun Vimudha. That person who is doing this all the time, Mitram Udasinan Ribun Vimudha, he is the most stupid person, he says. Vimudha, real? Vimudha. That, and you are wasting your time and life in this way. Therefore, start the real fight with your mind. That is Krishna's messages. Krishna's message here. So, tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arundudam tanna vijitya kechil bhavan asadvigraha matramartir mitranudasena ripun vimodhaha. Now, what is this importance? At the time of death, from these three lists, the powerful ones will come. That is what they will do. If you create this list, what will happen is, at the time of death, the stronger ones will come in front of you. Because the thought waves are so strong at the time of death while leaving the body, that Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam earlier, how Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti, he says there, isn't it? Remember, Arjuna asked that question, I think it is in the 19th chapter, where he mentioned that the 19th or 7th, earlier, 20th. When Uddhava asked the question to Krishna, that what is this death, Krishna? Birth I can understand, but death is difficult, he said. It was then that Krishna said, Uddhava, death is not such a big thing, he said. Death is nothing but that Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. 22 is it? 22:39. 22:39. Yeah. Vishaya abhinivesena almanam yat smaren puna. Jandovair kasyachid hedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Then he says here, in the verse before that you look, you have a look at that. And also the verse before that. Shri Bhagavan Vaja. She says there, manakarma mayam nranam indriyai panjabir yudham logal logam prayatanya alpa tadanuvartade. Krishna saying that with the five senses, pranan, and karma vasana pradhanam, mind, which is in charge of the karmam. All these things together travels from one body to another. Travels from one body to another. Even though alpa, the soul, is separate, it will still go with it. Alpa will go along with these things. Which one? That five senses and the mind, which is a subtle body, that goes from one body to another. But Atma, due to Adhyasam, Adhyasam means this reflection is there of Atma as Jiva. So Jiva will go with it. And Jiva goes means Atma also goes with it. Isn't it? Atma, remember what Jiva means. Jiva means it's a reflection of Atma in the subtle body. That is called a Jiva. So that Jiva will follow with this subtle body into the next life, into the next body. And while going, Atma naturally follows with them. Follows with them. So, and that is called, Krishna says here, Adhyasam. Adhyasam means this. Because although he is separate, in reality Atma is separate, Atma is independent. But due to Adhyasam, this is what has happened to him. Adhyasam means identification. Identification. What is that identification? Identification is like this. In your subtle body, you have identification. I am a man, I am a woman. I am an Indian, I am an American. These are all adhyasam. Or I am an engineer, I am a doctor. Or I am a politician, I am a businessman. Whatever it is, this is all adhyasam inside. As much as there is adhyasam in us, jiva is in contact with the subtle body. Jiva is in contact with the subtle body. So because jiva is there, jiva is that existence of Atma due to adhyasam. That's also there. Ahankaram is there, mind is there, intelligence is there. And therefore, Atma is not independent at that time. But by nature, Atma is independent. He's very independent. But because Atma's presence is still there in the subtle body, jiva is there. And because jiva is there, when the subtle body goes into the next body, jiva has to follow that. Then, and how this purva deha viyogam, how we give up our old body, and dehandara samyogam, how we accept the new body, in order to explain that, Krishna is saying there, it happens only due to one reason, forgetfulness and memory. That's the reason behind it. Forgetfulness and memory. That is what he says here in the next verse. Dhyayan manonu vishayan drishtan vanu shrudhanatha udyatsidat karma dandram smriti stadanu shamyadi. Dhyayan manonu vishayan drishtan vanu shrudhanatha udyatsidat karma dandram smriti stadanu shamyadi. That mind, which is already affected by the purva karma, what it has done. That means a lot of vasanas are stored up in the mind. Lot of vasanas are stored up in the mind. And therefore, what is the mind doing? Mind is going through those vasanas. That means at the time of death, particularly what will happen is, our vasanas, what is inside, they will start coming to the top of the mind. Our vasanas will come out. So, among those vasanas, which we have got. For vasanas means, it will be mostly, there is two types of vasana. Sadvasana, Durvasana. Sadvasana means good vasana. Durvasana means bad vasana. That vasana is the subject discussed in the 7th canto, Bhagavatam. You remember, there is a word called Uti. Uti is the word. Atrasargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya. Uti. Uti means karma vasana. Karma vasana. So, all vasanas were created through karma, whether it is good or bad. Good vasanas has been created through spiritual activities. Spiritual activities. Bad vasanas are created through karma in the other world, through various karma what we do, durvasana we have created. So, all these vasanas are inside our subtle body and they will start coming up one after the other at the time of death. And Krishna is saying here, at one particular point in time, when the body is ready to go, mechanically ready to finish, at that time, Krishna says that among those vasanas who have come up, one of them which is the most powerful vasana, they will start generating a fresh body for us. Generating a fresh body for us. At that point, you will start feeling this Atma and the Jiva who was present in the old body, he will start thinking that new body which has come, he will slowly lose his identity with the old body and he will start seeing, am I not that new body? He will start thinking. That means this reflection of Jiva which was in the subtle body, in the old gross body, will leave that and it will start, Atma will reflect in a new way as Jiva in the new gross body. In the new gross body. It's a very fine thing, that's what's happening at the time of death. That when we, best example is Jadavarana stays. What happened to him? He brought up that deer, isn't it? He got so attached to the deer. And he couldn't sleep without that, seeing the deer. Always thinking about the deer. Has it got enough to eat? Has it got enough to drink? Will the... he was frightened about other animals because it's only a baby deer. And all was in his mind. This is all in his mind. And because you have to remember, Jadabharata has left his palace long ago. K. kingdom. Everything he has left. Rishabhadev's son he is, isn't it? He has a big empire he had. He had left all that. And he has come here for self-realization to Gandaki River in Nepal. That's where this is happening, this incident. And there he is seeing, I've left all those things. And he has forgotten about that. He was very successful in doing that. But due to prarabdham, this deer came into his life. Deer came into his life. And when the deer came into his life, it came in all possible ways. How? He got attached to the deer by bringing it up like this. Started seeing the deer as it is very, the deer as very dear to him. Very dear to him. Very dear to him. And when he is looking at the deer, what thoughts are going through his mind? That is what we have to observe. He is feeling that the deer, about the welfare of the deer, has the deer eaten the food? Will somebody else attack the deer and kill the deer? Those kind of fear is going through on the one hand. On the other hand, the form of the deer is in his mind. The beautiful eyes of the deer and the beautiful ears. And the way the deer reacted to, used to come and lick his body. And the beautiful spots on the deer's body. All these things, you know, overall, generally you can say, the mind is nothing but the deer. Nothing but the deer. So when the death happened at that moment, he says there that all what happened was King Bharata, who was thinking he is Bharata, emperor, king like that, at that particular moment when the death happened, he started thinking, am I not that deer? Am I not that deer? What happened now? His Atma, Bharata's Atma, King Bharata Yogi he is, isn't it? His Atma, which was reflecting as a jiva in this subtle body of Emperor Bharata, has moved into that subtle body of the deer, deer's body. So instead of reflecting in this body as Emperor Bharata, in this body, he started reflecting in the other body. He started reflecting in the other body. That is all what it is, death Krishna is saying there. See how simplified death is as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna simplifies the death, whereas we think what is death for us? For death for us is 999, ambulance coming, taking us to hospital, connecting up to the support system, and then we wait. Doctors say, should we switch it off, on, leave it on it off, and we keep looking at the body, everything. Krishna is not talking anything like that about death. Krishna is saying, death is only this one thing, Uddhava. Nothing much is happening. This is the subtle side of death, and this is what we should keep it in our head. Not about the gross side. We are only talking about the gross side of death, isn't it? Krishna only talks about the subtle side of death. The subtle side of death is, makes sense. Gross side of death, what is there? So many animals are dying. We are also dying like that. Animal body is going away. But what exactly happens at the time of death? That is what he is saying here. Dhyayan manon vishayan drishtanvan shrutanathaha udyal sidal karma tandram smriti tadanushamyati. He says, because of that meditation, what has happened about, for example, in this case, as the deer, that he feels at that particular point, I'm not in this body anymore, I'm the other body. And one particular time that it gets switched on from one body to another. It was at that time, he says, he loses his identity with this body, that is called Purva Deha Viyoga, Purva Aparasmriti. Purva Aparasmriti happens there, and Dehandara Samyogam, he joins the next body, And therefore what happened? That's the next verse. Vishaya abhinivesena almanam yat smaret punaha jandorvai kasya chiddedor mrityu atyanda vismrati. He says here, because of suddenly you got attached to the next body, therefore you will be able to forget about your old body. You'll be able to forget about your old body. And that is called death. not, Krishna doesn't call death of the gross body as death. That's also another interesting thing. Krishna never calls death of the gross body as death. As far as Krishna says, death means your movement from the one body to another body. That is death. That is means from in this way, like the way he explained here. And now, what will happen? If we have this column, three columns, Mrityu, Udasinan and Ripu, from them, somebody will come at that time. You may not have seen them for a long time, but at that time, even if you are not invited them, they will come to say goodbye to you. And if they come, they come like this. In this way they come, as friend or enemy. Friends normally nobody takes very serious note, isn't it? If they come, it's come. They are your friend anyway. You take it like that. But the other one, they won't let you go. They won't let you leave this world very happily. They'll come, and with the result, Krishna says that if any relationship has happened between them, that account will continue in the next life in some form. So therefore, if we don't want that to happen, this is why Bhikshu Gita was spoken straight after that chapter. You have to remember. In the last chapter, Krishna spoke about death, isn't it? And the process of death. And in the very next chapter, Krishna is saying this to us. If you have not controlled your mind and got the mind under control properly, this will be the result. This will be the result. Why? Mitro udasinan ripu vimudaha. Mitram udasinan ripu. These kind of classification will happen. And from that list, whoever is a stronger one will come and take control of your life. That's what will happen. That is why I was saying that this verse has a very deep reflection, very deep semblance with the last chapters that where he spoke about the death. Death and these three columns are very closely connected. That's the reason why it's been spoken straight after that. Bhikshu Gita was practically spoken to tell us this, not to create friends, enemies and neutral one, it's not trouble. They don't cause any problems. They'll come. Especially this friends and enemy business. Friends and enemy business. Such an important thing it is. If you find difficult to deal with, move away from them. That's the best thing to do. Because sometimes it is like that. In certain situations, you are caught up with certain people and they could be giving you a constant headache. And in that is a situation, because for our spiritual interest, we have to move away from them. For our spiritual interest. Otherwise, they'll come back again and strongly exert their presence in us inside. In us inside. So that is an important point. So here, yeah. So here Krishna says that buddhi arudam. So this mind is such a thing that Bhikshu Gita he says here that that manojayam, he said, about the controlling the mind, isn't it? World is as good as non-existent to me. When you have got that control over the mind, world is as good as non-existent then. World is not existing for you anymore, if you have got that control over. Only when it enters through the framework, that means through this way, when it enters, it's called the mind. When the world enters inside us, in this particular way, in the form of three modes, and through vasanas, only then it is called mind. Only then it is called mind. In Upadesha Sahasri, he says, buddhi arudam jagal sarvam. Buddhi arudam jagal sarvam, which means that only when the world has come to you in the frame of the mind, then, only then, it's available for you for your experience. You see? If the world has come inside you in the form of mind, only then it can give you the world in the form of experience, isn't it? That's correct, isn't it? Because mind, world has to get inside us. We talk about that first. World wants to get inside us. How does it get inside us? It can only get through the mind, no other way. So when it gets through the mind, how does it get through the mind? In the form of vasana, one. In the form of three modes of nature. Three modes of nature it gets in, as I mentioned many times before, that three modes of nature it gets in. From tamogunam desires come. From desires karmam comes. From karmam results will come. Results will come means what? That you have to accept another body again. Vasanas will be created. So vasanas and the trigunam. Trigunam means these three modes of material nature. They all together allow the world to get inside us. Otherwise world cannot get inside us. We are very well insulated from the world. The only problem we have is this mind, which is allowing the world. So that's why it says here, buddhi arudam jagal sarvam. Only when the world is mounted in the form of mind, in the frame of mind, then alone it is available. And only when the mind comes in that way, through the mind, then you have experience. See, world is not entering us through the leg, or through the hands, or the eye, or the head. It's entering only through the mind inside us, isn't it? So mind is definitely, and it is a mind who interprets the world, one way or the other, as a good or bad and all other things, isn't it? So, therefore, mind is contribute to the experience, in other words, through its own coloring business. It colors the world or interpretation in that way. And you can see this happiness in the family, the even remaining the same. Different members in the same family interpret things in a different way. Within the same family. One incident happened in the family, for example. So many incidents happen. But take one incident. But within the family, if you observe, everybody interpret that incident in a different way. Father will see in one way, mother will see in another way, children will see in a different way. We have all this experience all the time, isn't it? And when you start thinking, oh, my own family members are not agreeing with me, we'll say like that, isn't it? It comes in a natural way, it comes to us. Because why? The mistake here is that this way the mind interprets is different for different people. Our own mind. Sometimes the way father sees, the way the mother doesn't see like that. What to talk about children? Then we say, oh, it's a generation gap and all that we say. We say something like that. Some technical word we'll find. There's no generation gap. Generation gap is this. Generation gap is this, that the mind is interpreting in a different way. All incidents in life. All incidents in life. And that makes some people happy and some people unhappy. And therefore, who do not frame, and that is how you form these friends and enemies in that way. So how they do not know, sometimes we do not know how to respond to that situation, since the world is remaining, but the world is still remaining the same. And different people interpret differently. That's all it is. And experience differently along with that. That shows that, proves the mind that constantly it is adding to the value. It's like the VAT, value added tax. That's what the mind does. Suppose an incident happened. To that incident, the VAT is added by the mind. Mind adds the VAT. Mind makes sure that it will interpret in a particular way. Any incident for that matter. Suppose you had some difficulty with somebody and something happened, you have left it there. But after coming back, who does the work? The mind does the work. Mind will say, oh, he should not have said like that. And you know, his attitude was not right. I should teach him a lesson and I should give it back to him like this. And when it is too strong inside, that's where all the problems builds up from that. What is experience? So value addition, this value adding business, value addition depends upon this mind. How much value it will add to the incident. And therefore, Bhikshu is saying here that mind and the world, if you put together, that they are responsible for your experience. Your experience is due to this, the mind as well as the world. So, if our experience have to be improved, we have to improve the mind also. Not only the world. So, that is what the important point here. That the wrong philosophy is that by changing the setup or changing the world by science and technology and other things or by economic development, it is not going to change. If you want to improve the quality of the life. That is the Bhikshu's teaching to us. Bhikshu is saying to us, by simply changing the setup in the world, your experience is not going to change. Your experience is not going to change. Because both of them are included in there. The world is involved, the mind is involved in your experience, isn't it? Experience is through both of them together. So simply by changing the world, your experience is not going to change. The way the experience is interpreted, that should change. That means the mind. So if you work on the mind, rishis are telling us this. Rishis are saying to us, if you correct your mind, this world is not a problem. That's what they are saying to us. World is not a problem. World has become a big problem because we did not take care of our mind. Rishis found out this. That is why they didn't talk about economic development. Now you understand why. They never discussed economic development. Do you think that they couldn't do all these things what we are doing today? They didn't do it. Deliberately they didn't do it. Because they understood the problem in a much deeper level. You can see with all our science and technology, where is the shanti today? Where is the peace in anyone's heart? Except like you're running around like a headless chicken everywhere, as they say. That doesn't know what is going on. From birth to death, this running, struggling going on. Economic development. Every morning you get up, this is the only topic to discuss about. And never come to any conclusion about it, isn't it? Rishis are saying to us that the problem is not there only. The problem is that your mind has developed a certain tendencies which is interpreting the world in a wrong way to you. And your so-called experience based on which you are making decisions is not purely coming from the world, it's coming from the mind. So therefore, if you control the mind, as we say before, if you control the mind, the world is not a problem. The rishis have found out this. Long, long ago, they have found out this. From the Upanishads times, they knew this. When Ramachandra was traveling through the forest in Chitrakudam, he was noticing that one after the other, through forest he was meeting with different rishis, Agastya, Atreya, and Vishwamitra. And Bharadwaja, starting from Bharadwaja onwards, he is seeing their huts. All of them living in huts. Some of them didn't have even proper huts. They were living underneath the trees and all that. And they were wearing the bark of the tree or animals, dead animals' skin, things like that. And in spite of all that, and they were eating whatever fruits were available in the forest. But they had no fear of the animals. Why? Because of this, that the mind was under control. That was the reason behind it. That there is no more anxiety in life. Of course, it is a very higher level of realization that the rishis had. But Ramachandra, Sita Devi says to Ramachandra, what a nice life they have here compared to our life in the palace in Ayodhya. There we have to deal with Mandara, we have to deal with Kaikeyi and so many others like that. But here, there is no anxiety, he says. Because they had this clear understanding that mind is the cause of everything. So therefore, he says here, for the improvement, even if we want to improve this quality of life in this world, that improvement of the mind, lokajayaha manojayaha. Lokajaya means the whatever what is doing here, that what we are doing now. Bhikshu says that laugiya karmani, that we'll mention this, that laugiya karma means our material activities, that you can use for loga jayaha. That means, for example, improving the setup, things what you do for economic development. But that alone is and is not good enough. Is not good enough. Also, Krishna says here that laugika jayam, for example, if your spiritual activities, like chanting the holy name, deity worship, and Srimad Bhagavatam and meditation, all other things, if they are also used for this purpose, because that's what they do, isn't it? They use it for improving the conditions of the world. Improving the conditions of this world. But Krishna is saying here, for that is also, is also religion also, if you use it for that purpose, it won't help. It won't help. Rather, it should be used for manojayam, not for lokajayam, laukikam. It should not be laukikam, it should be for manojayam. Going a further step, he says there, Manojayam is more important than Logajayam. Manojayam is more important than the Logajayam, because to change the setup, that means the world, there is a number of factors involved there in the world, outside world, isn't it? Many people are there, so many situations and things like that. And practically you can see that the changing the world is a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. And it's a tough thing. And therefore, it is secondary. It is secondary also. So therefore they say that Loka Jayam is not important, and therefore it is secondary. And Krishna says here, mainly Krishna has not even talked about Loka Jayam. He has only spoken about Manojayam. Only spoken about the Manojayam. So, Krishna's point is here that if the mind is trained properly, then mind is a proper instrument, and even the most difficult setup of the world, it will not get worried about it. It will get worried about it. So that is the important point Krishna has spoken there. Here again, tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arundudam thanna vijitya kejil. Arundudam thanna vijitya kejil. Krishna says, arundudam. Arundudam means, it is the one of the most difficult thing. What is this? Manojayam. So, religious life can help this Manojayam. Religious life can help Manojayam. Manojayam, through bhikshus or isais here, that Manojayam is the goal of all spiritual activities. Goal of all spiritual activities. So, here he says, when there is bhakti, bhikshu says there, is the first process to control that mind. Bhakti is the process. Bhakti is the process. So, having used bhakti as the first aid to master the mind, then you have to go to jnana. One who has to study with, start with bhakti, that is bhakti sadhana. All the bhakti sadhana towards for the mind, and then he should move on to the jnana margam, to the jnana margam, which means vedantam, vedanta vicharam, and which will help him in fighting this mind, manojayam. So, manojayam, when Krishna says this, two things are involved. First thing is bhakti, because only if there is bhakti, jnanam will take deep root inside. Jnanam will take deep root inside. As I mentioned many times before, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, they are connected each other. If you have, what is the difference? Difference is this, that suppose there is bhakti and there is no jnanam, what will happen is that bhakti will be very wavering. Suppose you have not understood bhakti in the way Krishna has spoken here. Rather, you have understood bhakti through the way society executes bhakti. Society executes bhakti in a different way, is it not? They teach us bhakti in a different way, completely different way. Not the way bhikshu has spoken. So, if you execute bhakti without consulting Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita for that, Krishna's words in that way, that bhakti won't stay. It will be always very pulsatory. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Therefore, jnanam is necessary. Jnanam is necessary. Jnana margam will tell us what is bhakti, proper bhakti. Through that bhakti, manojayam is possible, Krishna says. But sooner or later, from that bhakti, one should move on to the process of jnanam, process of knowledge. Where Krishna says, the more you go higher, the necessity for controlling the mind will come down. As we mentioned, discussed yesterday, that it is through the mind when the manojayam happens. At that point, even you can bring down all your other spiritual activities. They are not important anymore. You have gone quite high. Therefore, at that time, the Upanishad, the knowledge, takes control. Upanishad's knowledge takes control. So this is the project in the Vedam. Vedam talks about like this. That you can see that in the Vedam, if you look at, beginning is Karmakanda. You see, beginning is karmakandam. That means to engage you in karma. Engage in karma. Of course, Vaidika karmakandam is different than the karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna modified it for us in a different way and explained it in the form of karma yoga. That is how karma yoga became popular. But if you strictly go into Vedam and look at it, there it is all karma kandam it is. Karma kandam means what? Sacrifices. Yajurvedam is full of yajnam, sacrifices, isn't it? Krishna talks about yajnam, yajnam, yajnam all the time. In the Karma Yogam chapter you can see about yajnam spoken. So from karma kandam, one comes to upasana kandam. Upasana kandam is bhakti. Bhakti comes there. And from upasana kandam, one comes to jnana kandam. That is the way Vedam is structured. Vedam is structured in that way. So that is what Krishna is saying here also, that the that in the manojayam process, in winning over the mind, certain fundamental principles. The first principle is that all the negative thoughts which will affect us adversely, that has to be, I will not support them. The negative thoughts. That's the first stage. That means those things which is dragging me down, not allowing to have any control over the mind. That means sense gratification basically, which is driving me away from the realization process. Krishna is saying there, I cannot deliberately, I will move away from them, and I cannot give them any intellectual support or justify them. So that sort of decision one has to make. They are called as the unhealthy thoughts that comes inside the mind. And then he says there, I will not support even legitimate or valid things. For example, certain things like jealousy, envy, things like that. There is sometimes comes inside us through our vasanas. It comes inside us. Even then, I will have to pull out from that. Pull out from that. Similarly, so sometimes like this worry, fear, sorrow, anger, and they are all legitimate. They come to us in a legitimate way. But but when they become illegitimate, it hurts us in some way. It hurts us, isn't it? So I decided that as a first part of this, Krishna is saying that in the Manojayam process, that to withdraw yourself from giving support to them as much as possible. It's necessary. Because ragadvesham that develops from that, it's more difficult to come out of it. Difficult to come out of that. So Krishna is saying here that what the Vedam does, that's the same thing you have to follow. What does Vedam do? Vedam tells us to engage in karmakandam. Is it not? Karmakandam. Karmakandam in the Vedic times was sacrifices. Sacrifice. You can see the word sacrifice. Give up, give up, give up. That sacrifice. In the modern world, Krishna has changed that into karma yoga. So karma yoga is karmakandam only. It's only karmakandam. But it is more reflecting the present world. Reflecting the present world. That means how to turn your karma into karma yoga. That is karma yoga for the first six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna gives a stress. Four things he said, Chatursutram, isn't it? What does it say? Karmanye va adhikaraste. Na adhikaraste. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. Ma karma bhalahe durbur ma de sangostva karmani. So these four sutram, you have a right to do the karma. You are qualified, you are allowed to do the karma. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. You cannot expect the results according to your work. That will not happen. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. Result may come, may not come. How much result come? All these things are not in your power. Ma karma bhalahe durbhur. You must be very, very clear that the results of all your karma, you are not responsible for that. Ma karma bhalahe durbhur. Karma bhalahedu. That means the cause of your karma bhalam results, you are not responsible for that. Ma de sangostha karmani. On the other hand, you cannot refrain from doing karma. This is the karma yoga principle, four things. In other words, Krishna is saying, I'm not the karta, I'm not the bhokta. Isn't it? Na karta na bhokta. That's what it is. It's spoken in a different way. If you follow those four sutram, it leads to this. I'm not the karta, I'm not the bhokta. That's what it is driving at. In that way, if karma is executed, it will become karma yoga. So what Krishna is saying here for Manojayam, first thing is turn the karma into karma yoga. Turn the karma into karma yoga. So wherever there is an opportunity to be all the time, but these principles should be very clear inside, otherwise you can't do it. Why I am doing karma yoga, you have to know why you are doing that for. To get rid of this ownership from inside, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, this must go from inside. And therefore karma yoga. That's the reason behind that. So Krishna is saying here also that initially to validate this situation, that going to never to support, that is a process in the Vedam also. Why do you think that Yudhishthira Maharaj, Pridhu Maharaj, and so many great Parikshit and so many great personalities, they were performing Ashwamedham, Rajasuyam, Adhiratram, so many sacrifices mentioned at their times. Why did they do that? Because they know that that is the right thing to do. Because they were great people, great personalities, isn't it? They had the capacity to do that. Remember, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed Rajasuyam. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj knows that should be done. Because all the effects of all his actions in this world, not to bind him anymore, to free himself from that, he has to perform Rajasuyam. Obviously, in Rajasuyam also, this you will see in the Bhagavatam, when Narada Maharshi came to invite Krishna for Rajasuyam, they had a discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Maharshi. Yudhishthira Maharaj said to Narada Maharshi, I want to perform this Rajasuyam. And along with that, he said, I want to invite Krishna as the chief guest. Agrasana Puja, Agra Puja, he says there. That's where everything happened, isn't it? He got upset. Oh, Shishupala got upset there. So Krishna had bigger plans. But who inspired Yudhishthira to perform Rajasuyam? Krishna inspired Rajasuyam. And Narada Maharshi, when he heard that Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to perform Rajasuyam, Rajasuyam is not an easy thing. It's a very, very difficult, one of the most difficult thing sacrifices to do in the Vedam. Not many people have done one like that. Varuna has done one before. Varuna has done that once before. So what happened was that Yudhishthira Maharaj knew his limitations. First of all, the wealth. Then he has to win everybody in the world. All the kings should be under his subjugation. They have to come under him. And as soon as he thought about it, he thought, how am I going to win Dwaraka? Krishna is there. Thinking about it, he couldn't say one word. He couldn't say anything further. That he is his close friend. But anytime, for Rajasuyam's sake, Krishna has to be surrendered to Yudhishthira Maharaj. What it means is that Krishna has to come and hand over his contribution to the sacrifice, saying that I surrender unto you and here is my contribution. So the four Pandava brothers, they went in four directions. Bhima in one direction, Arjuna in another direction, Sahadeva in one direction, Nakula in one direction. But Krishna says, I always had this problem, but whom do I send to Dwaraka to ask Krishna to surrender? Krishna is the king there, isn't it? So knowing this, Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, that you go back and tell Yudhishthira Maharaj, I'll come there very soon and hand over my dues, whatever I have to give. Krishna, so is Krishna, that Krishna's affection for Yudhishthira, that even he is willing to do that for his sake. There is, why in the Vishnu Sahasranam says about Krishna like that, isn't it? What does it say? It says that, that Amani Manado Manyu Loga Swami Trilogadrik. Amani, he has no manam in him, no pride that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead or any such thing, no such thoughts in his mind. Amani, not only that, manado manyo, if somebody is his devotee, like Yudhishthira, he says, I will lift him to any extent necessary. Amani manado manyo, that is Krishna's policy. So Krishna said this to Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi goes to Hastinapur and he says to Yudhishthira that before I could invite him, he has told me, and Yudhishthira felt a big relief. He didn't know how to put it to Krishna. He was finding it difficult. But Yudhishthira felt a big relief when Sri Narada Maharshi came and told him that Krishna will come here with all the dues what he has to pay. And therefore then there was only one fear he had, that was Jarasandha. So that is what Krishna discussed with Uddhava. How should we tackle this situation? Uddhava said to Krishna, Uddhava is an intelligent person. He says, we will go to for Rajasuyam sacrifice. In that process, we will kill Jarasandha. All these plans were made by Uddhava. And Krishna agreed with that and they came to Hastinapur. So the reason I was saying these things were that Karmakandam is the beginning of Manojayam. Karmakandam is the beginning of Manojayam. Because in Karmakandam, if that correction is not made, because karma is a part of us, that will not stop. So Karmakandam becomes necessary either in the form of Karma Yogam or great personalities like them, they executed through sacrifices. Through sacrifices. So through karma, that entry into the mind. And then that develops into bhakti. And then bhakti, it develops into self-realization, knowledge of the self. So not only that, without my support, that means if I don't identify with the actions and the results, that these things won't happen. Because you can see kartrutva, bhoktrutvam and ragadvesham is connected. Is it not? Is connected very much. Kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, that means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And attachment, aversion is connected to that. Depending on, suppose you have no kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham won't be there. That also you can understand why. Isn't it? Why ragadvesham? Because of kartrutva bhoktrutvam. I am doing this. And I am in charge. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. If it is not there, ragadvesham won't come. Suppose you are able to function in that way in this world. So you can see how kartrutva bhoktrutvam, this karma yogam, completely changes your mental faculty. Your mental faculty. It completely changes. You are not disturbed about anything. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If that easiness or relaxed mood comes to us, and therefore that is a devotee, that's a devotee's mood. So because karta bhokta has gone from inside, and therefore he will not support anything that is not favorable for his yoga state. Yoga says. So unhealthy thoughts pattern like that, he does not encourage anymore. That is what Krishna is saying here. So after saying this, that he concludes that chapter mentioning that this Mitrani Udasina Ripun Vimudaha. He says, Mitrani Udasina Ripun Vimudaha Kurvandi. Unintelligent people, they are making friends, enemies and the neutral ones. And if that is the only thing that is happening in this world, in most of the people's life, isn't it? And why? Atra Martehi Asad Vigraham Kurvandi Vimudaha Mitra Udasina Ripun Kurvandi. Mitra Udasina Ripun Kurvandi. So, so here, our system has problems, isn't it? That means our mind. There are so many things spoken in the Shastra. Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. We also have to know, in another instance, Krishna will discuss this. In the earlier chapter, you remember, Krishna mentions there that the Jnana Yogam, whom it suits, Karma Yogam, whom it suits, and Bhakti Yogam, to whom, for whom it suits, that particular yoga process. So there itself, Krishna has drawn certain boundary in our understanding. If you look there, you will see. Look, go back into that chapter again. See how connected each other Bhagavadam is between chapters. There he mentions, I think it is in the 19th chapter, isn't it? 19th or 20th? Where he talks about the, it's the beginning of the chapter itself. 19th or 20th? I think, yeah. If you look into 21st chapter, in the second verse Krishna mentions, Sve Sve Adhigare Ya Nishta Saguna Parigirtida Vibariyastu Doshasyal Ubhayo Esha Nishchaya. He says, what is good and bad? When he discussed, he said, where you have your, what you are qualified to, allowed to do, or qualification, for which you are qualified, Sve Sve Adhigare Ya Nishta Sa Guna Parigirtida, he says. Gunam and Dosham, he is discussing. Gunam and Dosham. He is saying there, Gunam and Dosham is not completely dependent on what you make the decision. It depends on how far you are qualified to do something. Any yoga system is like that, he says. That Vibhayastu, because if you don't follow that rule, Doshasyal Ubhayo Esha Nishchaya. And if you follow that system, and if you are fixed up in that process, for example, if you take from Srimad Bhagavatam or from Bhagavad Gita, it is giving us a way of life, isn't it? That Karma Yoga, Bhakti, Jnanam, all three. In the beginning, all the three. Some people say, I come, I am a devotee, so I only follow Bhakti process. You can't do that. For a very long period of time in life, these three things must go together. Karma, Bhakti and Jnanam. All three things must go together. When we talk about Jnanam to that Jnani's level, when you come to such a higher level, that is when people will say, that means at that stage, you are more or less free from the rules of Bhakti, all the rules of Karma. You will be released by the Prakriti itself. That is when you say, I am the follower of the process of Jnanam. Similarly, for a Bhakta also, initially he has to follow all the three, Karma, Jnanam, Bhakti. But much later, a stage will come in the Bhakti process where the rules of Jnana Yogam and the rules of Karma Yogam doesn't have any more grip on him. He is not bound by any of them. That stage will come when he has gone very far in the Bhakti process. Similarly, in the Karma Yogam process also, suppose initially he must have the Jnanam, otherwise how can he execute Karma Yogam if he doesn't have the Jnanam? If he doesn't have the Bhakti, how can he execute Karma Yogam? Not possible. So Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam, it is a combined journey. Three lanes in the motorway, you can use all three of them all the time at a certain point. But at some point in time, you will know where you have to go. That is why some people eventually turn out to be Jnanis and some people eventually turn out to be, we call them devotees. But neither of them will be lacking anything as far as knowledge is concerned or Bhakti is concerned, either of them. So if you look back into the 20th chapter, in the 6th verse, Krishna is saying, Yogastraya mayo prokta nranam shreyo vidhilsaya jnanam karmam cha bhaktischa no upayo anyosti kutrachit. He says there that this, for the ultimate welfare of the human society, I have spoken about these three yoga processes. Which one? Jnanam, karmam, bhakti. Three processes. And he says there, outside these three, there is no other yoga process. There is no other yoga process. Now then you may ask the question, what about Ashtanga Yogam? Ashtanga Yogam is considered to be a part of Jnana Yogam. Similarly, Sangyam. Sangyam is a part of Jnana Yogam. So, but these are the three major yoga systems Krishna says, I have spoken about. Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. And that is, then he is saying there, in the 7th verse, Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo Nyasinam Iha Karmasu Teshu Anirvinna Chittanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam. So there, vasanas are there in a person. So because the vasanas are there, he says, if you have Vairagyam, it will help Jnana Yogam. If you have Vairagyam, it will help Jnana Yogam. And he says here, then Nyasinam Iha Karmasu, then therefore they have no attachment for Karmam. Vairagyam is there, so strong Vairagyam inside, that therefore Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo Nyasinam Iha Karmasu, they have no attachment for Karmam, they have Vairagyam inside. For them, Krishna says, they should go into the Jnana Yogam. that will help them. These decisions we have to make, Antaryami has to make from inside. Nobody will come and tell you, oh, from tomorrow onwards, you follow karma, you follow bhakti, you follow jnana. It doesn't work like that. That's not the way it works. So, he says, Tesho anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam. And there is another group of people, Krishna says here, that they are attached to the results, excessively attached to the results. And they will only be happy if the results are there from the karma. If it is karma is controlling our life to that extent, Krishna says, for him, karma yogam will work. And then, if neither of them is our, it doesn't suit us, either of them, jnana yogam or karma yogam, Krishna says, yadrachaya malkadadhav jadashraddhastu yappuman na nirvinno nadisakto bhakti yogosya siddhidah. One who has neither that qualification for jnana yogam or the qualification for karma yogam, such a person, if by chance he comes into association with devotee, na nirvinno nadisakto, for such a person, bhakti yogosya siddhidah, that for him only bhakti yogam will work. Krishna says that. So all these things Krishna has spoken there in that, and these yoga systems will make, accord will change. Initially all the three must be there. It is a much, much later date, everything changes. So we'll stop there, we'll continue. Verse 50 after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purna amradaswadanam sarvatma suvanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida niyamida smaranena kala edadrushi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdaivami drishamiha janidmanuraga trinara vishuni jena tarorabhi saheshnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari dhanam janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadishakami mama janmani janmani shwari bhavada bhakti rahi duvitvai ai nanda tanuja kingaram patitamam shale mahambudam kubaya tava bhagavan gajat rujuni sudrisham vijinnayam nam galadashudharaya mangadgadarudhaya gira pulagair nijidam kadavabo tavannamagrahane bhavishyadim yudam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashlishyava padaradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yatha tatha va vidadha dulambado matrana natha sunayeva napara. So tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arundudam tanna vijitya kenchil kurvan asad vigraha matra marte mitran udasina ribun vimodah. Krishna mentions there that if this mind has not come under control, under subjugation, it is going to create a lot of problems in life. And not only while living here, even at the time of death. Even at the time of death. So the purpose of saying all this thing was that our main enemy is this mind. Is this mind. And what all mind does, mind creates, he is my friend, he is my enemy. He is my friend, he is my enemy. And mind tells us he is the cause of my misery or she is the cause of my misery. All these things mind dictates from inside. And not only that, after we have built up this relationship that he is my relative, he is my enemy, in this way, because we have not won over the mind, it turns up into different actions from our side, is it not? Our activities will be based on this mental state. That also you can see. Suppose you have a friend, you will do anything for him because he's your friend. And somebody else is your enemy, and you will see how I can smash him down. This is all the mind does. It's the mind which is causing all. So that is why even material life is very miserable when you do not know this technique of the mind, what the mind is doing to us. And because most of us, what we do, we say like this, oh, what I'm doing is the correct thing. I'm convinced myself because my mind has told me. And therefore, I convince myself. And we will act based on that, create difficulties for others, and criticize others or disrespectful to others. So all the problems is inside in me, not in the outside world. That's why Krishna is saying here, asahyam, asahya vegam. Asahya means mind cannot tolerate it, can tolerate it. And also it moves very faster. It makes its decisions very fast. Durjayam. Durjayam means you cannot win over that. Arundhudam. Arundhudam means creates a lot of pain. It creates a lot of pain. So without winning over that, Krishna says that you live your life in this world, even there you will find that the life is very hard. Life will be very hard. So, but if you have won over this mind, the life will be much easier. So Krishna says, these two different things, loga jeevitam, adhyalpa jeevitam, that means spiritual life and material life, in reality they don't exist. In reality they don't exist. There is only spiritual life. Material life is this mind. You see, there is no thing called material life. There cannot be. Because we are spirit soul, there is only spiritual life. But why in the early days we keep saying this, isn't it? Oh, we are in my material life, I did this. In my spiritual life, I didn't do this. Actually, there is no material life or spiritual life. There's only spiritual life. That's a proper life, is spiritual life. But material life is because of the activities of the mind. This material life was born because of the activities of the mind. And Krishna says that Kurvandi asadvigraham atram artyer mitran udasina ripun vimodha. Because if the mind has not come under control, no matter how much you are a learner or educated, whatever it may be, if the mind is not peaceful, then there is no peace inside, there is no satisfaction inside, and no matter whatever anybody does, still your mind will be your enemy. Your mind will be your enemy. You can see this, how mind is like that. Sometimes people commit crimes, big crimes. And then they run away from there. So the local police cannot catch them. And then they go and commit crimes somewhere else. Then Interpol, the international police, they take control of them. And then they arrest them. After arresting them and bringing them to justice, still they will commit crime. Just see the mind. Initially, in his own country, where, like you could see this recently, that train robbery man who done that. Yeah, he went to somewhere in South America to escape, spent many years there, and they managed to get him at the last and bring him back. When he brought him back, he was sick, and he says, "I enjoyed all that what I did." He faked this. So imagine that mind behind it. That's what you have to learn from that. That look at the mind, how it's responding to it. He says, "I have no regrets," he said. "I enjoyed all that doing that," he said. In that process, he created so much problem for others, isn't it? Not only to the police, some people got killed in that process. And the planning behind it, what went on to do all that. So, and then he had to run away from the whole society to find some peace somewhere else. And if you read that, all things in the newspaper says that he fathered a child there to get his living permit there, to live there, yeah, somewhere in Mexico or something like that. Yeah. So you can see this. And then after that he fell sick, and by then the money was all gone in different directions. He didn't have any money. So he had to come back here. And then he had to take shelter of NHS for the health treatment. And he's saying this, after that he's saying this. that I've done all that and I really enjoyed it, he says. So mind hasn't changed at all, absolutely no change. He says, if I get an opportunity, I'll do it again, he says. So how will you read, this is the mind. You can't blame him, that's the mind. Mind is like that. That is what Krishna is saying to us, that this mind is capable of doing anything, capable of doing anything. So you can imagine how much trouble that mind is giving to him. It's not that he wants it like that, because the mind is giving the trouble to him, isn't it? So Krishna says here that if you start directly working under the guidance of this mind, how you are going to have any peace in life? That is his question. It is a situation with everybody. So without knowing the nature of the mind, that is the one which makes us run from morning to night. It is this thing called mind, he says, and that is what sustains us. So once the mind becomes peaceful, shanti comes to the mind, as mentioned before, samahitam yasya mana prashantam. In the 2-3 verses before, he said, samahitam state and prashantam state. In that state, Krishna is saying here that everything will be peaceful in that way. Everything will be peaceful. So, because it is like that, one who doesn't have that, he will find it very difficult, that prashanti inside. For 10 minutes, they will find it difficult walking this side, that side, disturbed all the time, isn't it? So, this mind, what it has done, is it's covering Krishna inside. Satyam. Satyam param dhimahi is inside, isn't it? That satyam is covered by this mind. And then, mind is presenting in front of us some false sankalpam, some false imaginary things it is presenting to us as real. That's what the mind does, mind's main problem. So, once that covering has gone, or called mind, then there is only Krishna there, Antaryami there, there's nobody else there. Only Antaryami there, once that covering has gone, mithya sankalpam. So, it is in that state, those who have moved away from the mind, or whose mind is completely gone away, for them, they don't need to go to the temple. They don't need to go to the temple. Sitting wherever they are staying, from there, they can see Krishna's presence. There itself, while situated there, they can pay obeisances wherever they are. They don't have to go and see the front of the deity in the temple. So, so therefore, Krishna says, after controlling the mind only, you should enter into the worldly life. You should enter into the worldly life. Otherwise, many different problems will happen in life. A warning there. Many different problems will happen in life. That is the warning from Krishna. Look at that problem. That is the next verse. 50. Deham mano matram imam grihitva maham ityandhadiyo manushyaha eshoham anyoyamidi brahmena durandapare tamasi brahmandi deham mano matram imam grihitva mamaham ityandhadiyo manushyaha eshoham anyoham ayam idi brahmenam durandapare tamasi brahmandi eshoham mano matram imam deham aham idi mameti cha grihitva andhadiyo manushyaha Eshaha aham ayam anyaha iti brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Krishna is saying here that this body is manomatram. Manomatram imam deham. First thing to know that. Remember, so many times we spoke about that. Body is product of the mind. Isn't it? Body is a product of the mind. So Krishna is saying here, manomatram imam deham. Body is a product of the mind, and with that body you are identifying and saying aham mameti, me and mine, comes from that. Aham mameti cha, holding that, grihitva, in that belief, andhadiyo manushyaha, in that illusion, what he is doing is that esha aham, I am anya iti brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Krishna is saying here, after identifying with this body as me and mine, body as me and mine, then due to that ajnanam in me, And human society, which is covered with that ajnanam, he starts thinking, it's me and it's him. We separate ourselves. Actually, there is no many here. There's only one. As Krishna says, it's only Atma. And Atma is one. There is not many. As soon as you, where did this many had come? And many had come because you identify with the body. That's why many had come. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. You have thought yourself that deham, which is a product of the mind, is you. You thought like that first, isn't it? And then, mamaham ithya andhadiyo manushyaha. That me and mine has come as soon as you identified with the body. Is it not? So you can see this stage, what Krishna is talking about in these verses, even though we may not reach that state, it may not happen so easily. That is, these are meant for those people who have gone very high in spiritual life. Those who have drank this nectar of Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita. It's for them, all these instructions. Ordinary people, if you say this, straight away the answer will be, then, you telling me I'm not this body, then what am I supposed to say? He's not that body. So what else is there? So answer will be very difficult. So, because Krishna says here that if you have accepted this body, which is manomayam, as far as Krishna is concerned, it is manomayam. Body is nothing important to it. Always Krishna will say this, manomayam, manomayam, he says, isn't it? He keeps repeating that every time. Here also he's saying that, deham manomatram imam grihitva. You are thinking like that, manomatram, manomayam it is. And that is why Krishna doesn't like when people say, whoever says that what I have seen with the eye and whatever heard with my ears, it's all true. Such people, Krishna doesn't want to talk to them. He says they are such people, whatever they see with their eyes is truth for them. Whatever they hear with their ears is truth for them. Nothing else is truth as far as they are concerned. What's the point in talking to them? Krishna says. So, deham manomatram imam grihitva mama aham andhadiyo manushyaha. They're actually blind. That's the way Krishna puts it. Because through their body, they have identified so strongly, me and mine, they are blind, Krishna says. Mama aham andhadiyo manushyaha. They have become blind. So, the tattvam, body, because it has come from the mind, the way Krishna has explained before, isn't it? All bodies are a product of the mind. In the mind, because the vasanas were there, the trigunam, the modes of nature were present there, from tamogunam, desires came, got into action, and karmam started. Karmam has created karma vasana. Karma vasana has created, due to that, karma phalam. Karmam, karma phalam. And in order to enjoy that karma phalam, another body was given. And where the decision was made? In the mind. What kind of body you need to have to enjoy a particular type of pious activity and a sinful activity. That is called the prarabdham. So when the prarabdham is ready for consumption, at that time, the particular form, in a particular way, a body is created. And because of this only, there is such a variegatedness in the body. No two bodies are similar, are they? Two bodies are never similar. Why is that? Reason is this. That vasana that created that body is different from another person's vasana. Everyone's karma vasana is different. The modes of natures are different. So karmam is different, karma phalam is different. And the body he gets is also different. Everything changes. Everything changes. Even if you have twins who are looked very similar in their body, their vasanas are different. They too will go in two different directions. Two will go in different directions. So Krishna is saying here, mind is the principle behind everything, behind the body. The active principle is the mind. Mind is that what has generated this body. So, and then if you ask the question, what is the principle of that body? Principle of that body is like this, the person who is seeing that body, his mind. Suppose I am seeing someone's body, my mind will evaluate that body in a particular way. Evaluate the body in a particular body. Because in my body, my mind is present. In my body, my mind is present. And I am thinking about me that I am this body. I am this body. Because my mind is present in this body, and this body which I am thinking I am is also come from the mind. That means manomatram. That is what Krishna says there. Deham manomatram idam shari grihitva. Deham manomatram imam grihitva, he says. Suppose this mind is gone away, then the body is not existing for me anymore. You can see that my identification with the body is all where? In the mind, isn't it? Identification is also in the mind. So, and how I identify with this body depends on my mind. How I identify with it? You can identify with this body in different ways. Is it not? All of us, with our own body, we can identify with it in a different way. Sometimes you can identify, I'm an older person. I can identify with that body. Or I can identify, I'm much younger than what I thought. And that way you can identify. Or sometimes I identify with the body, I'm good looking. Or sometimes I can identify, I'm a very ugly person. Various ways you can identify with this body. But where is the identification? It's in the mind. It's in the mind. So overall, if you look at the body, body has some problem, health problems. Where is the problem? In the mind. Body has any limitations? It's all in the mind. So you can see from all angles, body is controlled and pulled by the mind. Body is controlled and pulled by the mind. So Krishna is saying here, Deham manomatram imam grihitva. You are always under the concept, this, that body is nothing but, that is this, and what it does is, Mamahamit antadiyo manushyaham. It creates this me and mine also. Where is that? In the mind. Me and mine is also in the mind. So when normally, in ordinary life, when people look at their own body and they identified with me and mine, that is also in the mind. That's also in the mind. So mind is the source from where everything starts. Everything starts. The body has been created according to the vasanas in the mind, according to the need of the mind has decided that this is what going to be the next life. Accordingly, the body has created. Mind has decided what all prarabdham it has to go through in life. So you can see the complete control on the life is monitored in the mind. So mind decides the prarabdham, experiences the prarabdham, what kind of body is necessary to go through that prarabdham. So similarly, Krishna says, and the mind is packaged and kept inside this body. That's where it is, isn't it? So similarly, this body also is manomayam, manomatram, Krishna says. So once this mind goes away, or mind has come, escape from the control of the mind, then body will not be there. Body won't be there. If the mind has gone away, body won't be there. This is a very interesting principle in the Vedanta. If the mind has gone away, the body is not there. If the mind goes away, body is not there. And they say the best example is deep sleep. In the deep sleep state, what happens? The mind has gone, therefore the body is not there. That is why you are not experiencing this in the deep sleep, the body. Because mind is gone. Where it has gone, that's another thing. But mind is not there. So that is to prove, to show to us that the body is in the mind. Because when the mind goes away, body goes away. Is it not? When the mind goes away, the body goes away. So that is what the Krishna is saying here. Deham manomatram imam grihitva. He only thinks that the body is in the mind. He knows that the mind is completely under the control of the mind, but he does not know this, that mamahamit andhadiyo manushyaha. He identifies with the body and start thinking me and mine. But he does not know that this deham manomatram imam deham aham iti mameti cha grihitva. So what has happened is that he identified with the body, which is nothing but a creation of the mind. It's a creation of the mind, is it not? Manakalpidam, they call it. Manas kalpana is body. This body is manas creation, mind's creation. And that creation we have take is the body, and in that body we have gone and identified as me and mine. That's what happened. Body is a product of the mind. Manakalpidam, it's called. Deham mano matramimam grihitva. No, then what has he done? He has gone and identified with that body, and in that body considering me and mine. I am that body and this is mine. Me and mine. Aham amedhi. Remember? So that has happened. One mistake there. Krishna is saying like that. So you can see here that Krishna mentions there, eshoham anyoham, eshoham anyoyam iti brahmena, durandavare tamasi brahmandi, durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Krishna is saying here that in the sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, mind surrenders, mind goes away, isn't it? Do you have an experience of the body then? There is no experience of the body there, isn't it? So he is saying this, that we are saying that this is my body, and the foolish people, Krishna says, they keep saying, this is me, that's him, that's her, in this way, and saying like that, and that itself is tamogunam, Krishna says. Durandavare tamasi brahmandi, he says. Durandavare tamasi brahmandi. So, he does not even know what tamogunam means, Krishna says. Krishna is saying here, that anybody who says this, then purushoham, eshoham, anyoham iti brahmena, eshoham, anyoham iti brahmena, durandavare tamasi brahmandi. He says that, first of all, he identifies with the body, which is nothing but which has come from the mind, which has come from the mind. And in that body, he takes this identity, me and mine. He takes this identity as me and mine. And not only he says me and mine, about others also he says, that's him, it's her, like this. In everyone, we put this cover of the body. We put this cover on top of them. That's him who has done that to me. That's her who has done that to me. Like this, I have created so many other shariram, other body. Body is all created. It doesn't really exist. That's why when Krishna says, body doesn't exist, we find it difficult to accept it, isn't it? Krishna is saying to us, body has no existence. Body is not real. Body is false. Because it's come from the mind. What reality has it got? So, but we identify with the body. Aham amedhi begins with the body. Not only in our case, we put that on others also. And then we think, oh, he is looking for his benefit. He's doing things for himself, and or somebody else is doing for somebody else, like this. And Krishna says, durandapare tamasi brahmandi. Eshoham anyoham, it's me, it's him. Eshoham anyoham iti brahmena. In this way, brahmam comes to him. Brahmam. Brahmam means this illusion. And durandapare tamasi brahmandi. After that, there's only one hope for him. He will continuously rotate in this cycle of tamogunam, on the cycle of tamogunam. So, so Krishna is saying all these things. We have to understand this. If Krishna doesn't speak the truth, who else will speak the truth? That also we have to look at. If Krishna also don't speak the truth, then who else will speak the truth? So that's how you have to see this. When you see these things, so it is this mind, Krishna is saying, it is that mind only completely covers the truth inside everybody. Everybody. And so that is the main principle what Krishna is going to explain here. Deham manomatram imam grihitva mahamit andhadiyo manushyaham eshoham anyoham idi brahmena durandapare tamasi brahmandi. It's a very difficult verse, isn't it? We think that as soon as you hear that verse, you drop down. He says, how can you do this? Is it not? The word says, speaking about the truth in such a way, impossible for us to get anywhere closer to that. Because throughout life, first of all he says, Deham manomatram imam grihitva. That itself requires a long, long procedure or training to come out of this. How many people understand that? Deham manomatram imam grihitva. In this world, tell me. In this wide world, how many people understand Deham manomatram imam grihitva? Do the scientists understand? Do the doctors understand? Do the politicians understand? Businessmen understand? Who understands? Only who has taken Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam seriously can accept it to some extent. Krishna is giving you the logic also why Deham manomatram imam grihitva. It is manomayam, body is manomayam. From right beginning Krishna will reject the body. And therefore sometimes what happens is this Vedantam is too much for ordinary people. It's difficult because they are in that level that thinking I am this body. And anything outside the body, they can't even imagine within themselves. And therefore, what they do is that before we discuss Vedantam and philosophy, let us engage them in some karmam so that to create some kind of detachment to this body. That is why different personalities will present philosophy in a different way, for this reason. If you ask the question, can we follow Krishna's philosophy? Straight away, 100%, it's difficult. It's not for ordinary people. It's not possible. Especially people, average people like us. It's extremely difficult. Because this verse is so high. First of all, to accept this first line itself is difficult. Deham manomatram imam grihitva. Ekadasham verses are very difficult. It is not theoretical. It is the truth. The truth is what Krishna is talking about. If we have the good fortune, that's why Uddhava said to Krishna, unless you show mercy, this will not work for me. He said that. Sudhuscharam imam manye. Because the truth is something different than what we think about the truth. Truth is completely different, is it not? You can see that. The truth what Krishna is talking about is totally different. And he is saying here, there is no two existing here. Eshoham anyoham. Idi brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Krishna is saying, anybody who thinks that's me and he is already in tamogunam, he says. Not even rajogunam, in tamogunam he is. And he is the one who has to come to beyond the three modes of nature. Where is it going to happen? So from Krishna's point of view, all you can do is when we read these verses, many verses in the Ekadasham, is just to pay obeisances to Krishna and ask for help. Otherwise it won't happen. With our present state of mind and our impurities inside, to come to this realization, it's not easy. It is not easy. So it is very difficult to understand it and to accept it. Because we can see that Eshoham, who on earth, which scientist will tell you this? Eshoham anyoham idi brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Which scientist can tell you? Nobody can tell you this. That high is this state of the truth, what Krishna is talking about. Sukadeva Goswami can tell us. Maitreya Maharshi can tell us. Markandeya Maharshi can tell us. Isn't it? They can tell us because they have gone through it, all this. But with this, Krishna thinks that, like he's basically saying about us and the scientists also, those who believe what they see through the eye, what they hear through the ears is the only truth. Krishna thinks that they are the biggest jokers in this world. As far as Krishna is concerned, they are the biggest jokers in this world. Those who believe what they see through the eye, what they hear through the ears is the only truth. But this is the truth. This is the truth. That is why they did not waste their time. Rishis know this. How much, without Krishna's help, this wouldn't have happened for the Rishis. That is why all the great sages, they say that that Uddhava said to Krishna, if you go away from here, what will happen to this world, he said. Because this lot here will only believe what they see. This lot will only believe what they hear. Nothing else they will believe, nothing else they will hear. They will accept. And if you also go away from here, at least if you stay here for some time, by seeing you, there is a possibility that they may take to some bhakti, jnana, vairagya will come. Otherwise, what hope is there? He said. Uddhava said to Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I am going, but I will leave this Bhagavatam behind. And those who want, they will find it there. Those who want, they will find it there. That is how Krishna has given that benediction to Bhagavatam like that. Is it not? So that is why this one verse, if you read, not one line, you can accept it now, today. You can't realize it. Deham mano matram imam grihitva mama ahamit andhadiyo manushyaha. Me and mine has come from identification with the body. And body is only a product of the mind. Who will accept that if you go and tell the world? Who's going to accept that? And then what else? Eshoham anyoham, me and you. This has come from that. Eshoham anyoham idi brahmena, that brahmam inside, that illusion inside. And what else? Durandabhare tamasi brahmandi. That alone is sufficient to create enough distress, Krishna says. And that person who is going in the life in that way, he says, he is already in tamoguna. Tamasi brahmandi. He is running around in the tamoguna. Inside tamogunam he is rotating. Krishna says like that. So you can see this, some examples. That now if you look outside, that there is light outside. You can see things there, isn't it? And if it becomes dark, if it comes night, it becomes dark. You can't see anything. You can't see anything. Even in the sleep, there is only darkness. Even in the sleep, there is only darkness. So if you have come now, you will say there is enough light. There is enough light. You can see everything now. If you ask the question, is this all things true? Are they all real? Are they all real? Can you say they are all true? Because they don't exist in the night. Is it not? Now you are saying, because there is light, and you are seeing with your eyes, you say it's all true. But suppose you come at the night time here, you can't see anything. And will you say they are all true at that time? You are not seeing anything, so you will say nothing is true. So practically you can see, when there is no sunlight, you are not seeing anything, the existence of all what is there. So you feel the reality of their existence and only when the sunlight is there, isn't it? Only when the sun is shining, even though it's not shining, but still there is some light there. Only when the sunlight is there, you feel the reality of their existence. Reality of their existence. Similarly, when you have gone inwards, antarmugatvam has happened in a person, he will not see these things anymore, as we are seeing now, as we are seeing anymore. Because all these things, they are born, they are created, and they get destroyed one day. Or the six kinds of changes that happens to all objects in this world. Shat parinama bhedam, it's called. That means it takes birth, grows for some time, and then it starts byproducts, it stays for some time, starts dwindling, and then it's decaying, and then eventually death. So these six changes that's happening is happening to all these things, isn't it? All these things, it will happen. So, if you look at it that way, would you say that all these things are real? When you look at it that way, are they real? They are not real, are they? So, because if you say that these real things which are not real, they are not real. In reality, they are not real. Because they are changing these six different ways and it is eventually getting destroyed. So, that objects which are not real, we feel that they are real. In our experience, we say they are real, although they are not real. What made them real to us? The sunlight. Isn't it? The light has made them real to us. But is the light real? That's the question then, isn't it? In Vedantam, they ask all these questions. You are seeing all these things. What has happened now is that You started saying, oh, this is all, because I've seen that, you will say. I've seen it, therefore it's real. Or I've heard about it, and it's been spoken by some authority, so it must be real. So your so-called seeing and hearing and accepting that as real, seeing is purely due to because there was light, so you have seen it and you have accepted it as reality, isn't it? So Krishna's point is that when you become inward looking, you are not seeing anything as you are seeing now. You are seeing in a different way. At that time, all this is not real anymore. All this is not real anymore. Because the real light is not coming from the sun anymore. It's coming from the self, from the Atma. Because it is coming from the Atma, what happens is that you can't see these things. Because the light from the Atma is not showing these products anymore like the way sunlight is showing it to us. That's all it is. That in the self-realized state, Atma is showing to us a different world altogether. It is not like the way the sunlight is showing to the world. Unfortunately, what has happened is, we have accepted things in such a way, whatever the sunlight is showing as real, what or your camera or your lenses, whether it is gone to Mars or Moon or wherever it is, every scientific conclusion is based on what they have seen with the eyes or nothing else than that. So they can't say anything, and these objects are constantly going through changes. And they are, because of the influence of the sunlight or through whatever light you are getting from externally, you are seeing these things in this form. That's all it is, and they are not real. That's the point, first thing Krishna is making there. That, therefore, your so-called vision now is blurred. It's not real vision. Krishna is saying to us, so Krishna is saying here that things don't exist. What really don't exist, you feel as though they are existing now. See, in the darkness, they don't exist for us. In the light, they exist. In the light, they exist. So, is it now darkness or light? You will say now that you ask that question, is there darkness or light now? Which one is the darkness and which one is the light? Initially, there was no light, no sunlight. Things didn't exist. Things didn't exist. Then the sunlight came and we say they all exist. When the sunlight goes away, they don't exist anymore for us. So when the sunlight goes away, what do you have to say? You have to say it is darkness. So things really, they don't exist. They don't exist. But it gives an impression to us that they exist and they don't exist in two different conditions, depending on the sunlight. The sunlight is there, they exist. The sunlight goes away, they don't exist. Isn't it? So real light is when, this is when the Atma is present. Whenever Atma gives you presence of anything, that awareness is the only real light. Otherwise it's not. Because in the presence of Atma, what you experience is the real experience. Not the one what you extract through your eyes and the senses. Eyes and the mind. That is not acceptable. From Vedantam, he is very important on. If you have got this message properly, then you can think about it a little bit more. You see, anything what you see in this world, in the sunlight, they are constantly changing. In the presence of the light, they exist. In the absence of the light, they don't exist. They don't exist. So, from there you can see that their existence is very much dependent on the light that comes from the sun. Light comes from the sun. Only in the presence of the light you can accept their existence, otherwise not. So when we become inward looking, the andarmukhatvam comes, Krishna says, or in other words, when you realize the self, what will happen at that time? What happens at that time is that the self is not like the sunlight. Self is not like the sunlight. Self is making you aware of things which you were not aware of before. Instead, self is never make you aware of this world which is constant. What self does is, it makes you aware of the self which is permanent, which doesn't change. Here, this sunlight, electricity and everything, it makes you aware of the things which are constantly changing. Self will make you aware of that substance which will never change. That is the difference. So in your awareness, so that is why Krishna is saying that you are looking at this world constantly and saying to me that it's real, it's real, it's real. We keep on repeating this. How hard it is to break that concept from the head, is it not? That to say to somebody, you tell that world is not real, he will not accept it. He's not going to accept it. But Krishna's logic is this. Krishna is saying when self-realization happens, the self will show to you that what you are seeing and trusting and believing all these things is not real anymore. Because self will show you what is real thing. That self alone is the real thing, nothing else. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam at the end, Krishna said this to Uddhava. Uddhava, I don't want to discuss about that world where you are talking about. I don't even want to talk about it. Because for the self, I'm only interested in talking about. That alone exists, nothing else. Nothing else. Only I've talked about the self. Remember that verse in the 28th chapter? I reviewed only about the self. This is what Krishna's instruction to the world. Same thing when Krishna started Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? What did he say? Nasado vidyade bhavo. Krishna has only this one thing to tell us. Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorabhi drishtvandam sthanayor tattva darshivi. That's exactly what it is. The same message. Simply taking matter all the time and researching with the matter and coming to some conclusions like this and thinking that we have got the truth. Is that not foolishness? When Krishna is saying to us, this what you see and what you hear is not the truth. Is not the truth. Atma is beyond the seeing and hearing. It's beyond the seeing and hearing. That is why, that means, he says here, if it is like that, when is this light comes of the Atma? Soul's light comes only in the Samadhi state, isn't it? This state, in Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, you only have this. Because you are under the three modes of nature. So under Maya, under three modes of material nature, under the three states of existence, what you experience, you are calling it as truth, Krishna says. Are you calling that as the truth? This is Krishna's question to us. In this verse, this is the problem. That Krishna's point is, Deham mano matramimam grihitva mama aham ityandadiyo manushyaha eshoham anyoham idi brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Durandavare tamasi brahmandi. Krishna says, one who is stuck in that world, there is not much hope. That's the answer. Durandavare tamasi brahmandi. His misery will never come to an end. Come to Atma. That's what Krishna is saying. So, andhadiyo manushya. Remember that word Krishna has used there? Andhadiyo manushya. Because right now, it is the darkness that you are experiencing as light. And you have put all your faith in that darkness, which is related to the sunlight and the material objects which are constantly changing. Andhadiyo manushya. So, it is only those men, andhadiyo manushya, only those human society who are believing like that, andhabuddhi, Krishna called, they are blind, Krishna says. Blind means spiritually blind. Only those people, human species particularly, they consider what? Deham mano matramimam grihitva. They consider this body is the everything, and in the body they identify me and mine, and they think that this is me, that's him or her, and in this way they create friend, enemy. All these are the after effects of this that he has created, and he continuously struggle and suffer in this material world. He has no choice, Krishna says like that. And this is the experience of the samsara. So that is, it's a little difficult words that is to to accept as it is, because it is the truth. And the way, before you go into that, analyzing these words, you must look at the world first and see this difference, what it is creating in us. Everything what we see through our eyes and hear through our ears, all the rishis and all the great jnanis, they feel sorry for us actually. They actually feel sorry for us, because seeing our state of ajnanam or avidya in us and coming back with all sorts of ignorant questions, saying and argue with them about it. Because as far as they are concerned, you are nowhere near the truth. You are completely dependent on your senses and this external world, and you are saying that you have found the truth, or you are researching with your truth, whatever we want to call it. So they give no value to our research. They give no value to our intelligence. They give no value to our judgment on any of these things. Now you can see why people are trying to... That is a more funny thing than that. Through science they are trying to find out Krishna. What science can do? What can science... There are some people also trying to use the science to find out the truth. They say science is agreeing with us, so it's okay, because we need recognition from the science to accept, isn't it? That's why sometimes we fall into that trap as well, that scientists have agreed with us, so that means that we are acceptable now to the rest of the world. We don't need anybody's acceptance. We don't need any recognition. If you have your own ability to think, and if you can understand what Krishna is saying, then you don't need any kind of certification from any other source. But you must have that intelligence, and you must have that capacity to accept what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam. That means unless we have absolute faith in what Krishna is saying, we will be easily driven by the science. We will be driven by all other rubbish in this world. It has no value. Who can stand in front of Krishna and say to him this? Only Krishna can say this to us. Deham mano matram imam grihitva mama aham ityandhadiyo manushyaha eshoham anyoham idi brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. There is no choice there. I continue the cycle, birth after birth and death, punaravijananam, punaravimaranam, punaravijanani, jadare shayanam, idi samsare, bahudustare, kripayapare, pahimurare. Krishna's grace. This is why transcendentalists, especially jnanis, devotees, yogis, they all, because this realization to come by is not easy. It's not easy. Even the first line is difficult. What to talk about the rest? Deham anomatram imam grihitva itself is difficult. Is it not? Because so absorbed in the body we are. That's the point Krishna is making there. So, saying that, Krishna is saying here, that the Bhikshu saying to us that religious activity, what we mentioned, that in the earlier one verse, in the 46th verse, I think he said, about dhanam, so many things, isn't it? Dhanam sodharmam niyamam yamascha shrutam cha karmani cha sadvratani sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Parohi yogo manasa samadhi. This is not a watered down version of the Vedic knowledge, this verse. That is why this verse, while discussing, you have to be careful with people. That it is not a watered down version. It is the truth. There won't be any more concession on this. On a surface level, when you discuss, you can say things like what? You can say that, oh, I need my material body to do my devotional service. I need my material body because I have some duties to perform. This is all coming down to the lower level. To the lower level, you can speak like that. But on a higher level, when it comes, Krishna doesn't approve any of those things. As far as Krishna is concerned, my body itself is not existing. What to talk about keeping it for devotional service? That you have to know that. It is in what level you are speaking things, you have to be conscious of. If you are talking about propagating bhakti, engaging them in Krishna consciousness, and to engage them, to bring them to spiritual life, you have to speak in that way. that you should have a healthy body, and with that healthy body only you can do some service to Krishna, to please Krishna, things like that. It's necessary to say like that. But the truth is not that. Truth is something different than that. Truth is like this, that as far as Krishna is concerned, this body itself does not exist. Deham manomatra mimam. It's only a mental thing that is. That means that person who is in that state, he has gone very high in spiritual life. He is getting much more closer to the truth rather than the one. Because you see, when you are saying that I'm identifying with my body to a large extent and I have a lot of faith in all the world, I'm seeing this world is real. This is that state. I'm seeing the world is real. I'm thinking that to a large extent I'm still this body, and I'm still thinking that I have responsibility in this life. I have to distribute this spiritual knowledge to the world. I have to help others to advance in spiritual life. If all these things are existing in me, if those thoughts are there, then to that extent, your realization also has to be in that level, in that state. That is when we say that you have to have this, you have to have that. You identify in a different level with the world, is it not? You identify with the world in a different level. But in this verse, Krishna is not giving any consideration to that. He is saying to Uddhava that Avanti Brahmana's experience was such. He says that, he's going a little bit deeper and analyzing. He says, why did this body come first of all? Deham manomatra mimam grihitva. And the mistake I have made there itself, because I identified with the body as the manomatram, mimam grihitva. When the body is manakalpitam, it has no existence, but I have accepted it as something come from the mind. And so, so as much as a person has ajnanam, so depending on the level of avidya inside in a person, this realization also. So when you say to people about this, you have to look at that person's state, avidya, what state of avidya he is, isn't it? So suppose somebody who is very strongly identifies with the body, very strongly identifies with the body, to him saying this won't help. It cannot have any effect on him. So that means you have dehabhimanam, bodily identification, isn't it? And as long as there is individuality there, there will be subjectivity there. And as long as there is subjectivity, you can never look at this universe objectively. You see that? Understand that? I'll explain that. You see, as long as bodily identification is there, there is individuality. Is it not? We all think ourselves individuals. And as there is individuality, you are a subject, isn't it? Subjectivity comes there. Because individuality is there, so subjectivity will come. And when you have a subjectivity, you cannot look at the creation or the world in an objective manner. Because objectivity, there comes subject and object comes separately. Subject and object comes separately. And as long as I have this self-awareness in me that I am existing, I am. That awareness is existing, or which is called as self-ignorance about myself. I have got bodily identification, and as long as there is bodily identification, there is false ego. There is ego at that point. And as long as there is ego, there is subjectivity. There is subjectivity. And as long as there is subjectivity, it will be colored by my subjectivity. Suppose I am observing this world, the way I see the world, everything, it will be colored by my ego from inside. My ahankaram or my mind will put its coat on that. It will be present there. Therefore, I will never live in an objective world. I will never live in an objective world. This is another decision Krishna wants us to make, that because this is the thing this verse is talking about. That first of all, deham, shariram, body. I have identified with that. Manomatram imam, it has come from the mind, isn't it? Because of that, what happened? I identified with this body. Because I identified with the body, I identify others also with their bodies. From there, Eshoham Anyoham came. I am you, me, you, that has come. Isn't it? Like we say, us and them. They say like that, isn't it? Us and them. So similarly, me and others have come separately. Once that has happened, this you can study this in the Panchadashi. Vidyaranya Swamiji discussed this very nicely. He says how it changes from one to another. So he mentions there that in the Jiva Srishti, is like this. This is how Jiva is created. That he identifies with the body, and with the body identification, he also identifies with me, you. Separation has happened already. By now, Jiva has become strong. Jivatvam has happened to that person. So, Jiva Srishti, we can never live in an objective world called Ishvara Srishti. That means that this world, what is existing now, we are thinking that somebody has created it, isn't it? Ishvara Srishti, it's called Krishna's creation, we say. Ishvara Srishti. So this, we have got an objective world and Ishvara Srishti, it's called Ishvara Srishti. We are thinking it like that, isn't it? Look at the world without this subjective coloration. That means we will not react to situation, but when there is subjectivity, when there is subjectivity. Suppose that because I am the subject, world is the object. I am the subject, somebody else is the object. The subject-object has come, and because of that, I have got this problem that's coming from there. That is what that word is saying. Eshoham Anyoham. Where did this come from? Eshoham Anyoham. This is a Brahmam, Krishna says. It is a Brahmam. Eshoham Anyoham Idi Brahmena. This Eshoham Anyoham started from where? Eshoham Anyoham has come from this. That initially it started with this individuality. We identified ourselves as the body. From there problem started. From individuality, it has developed into, that means you have created, I am a subject. Everything you started making decisions on a subjective basis. I am looking at this world as though I am separate from this world. Is it not? I am looking at this world as though I am separate from this world. This is called Maya. You see how clever Maya is? Maya has put us into this world and made us to think all the time that we are separate from the world. And we look at this world and we make our judgment about this world. We make all kinds of research work and come to all kinds of solutions or all kinds of conclusions based on our research. Although you are also a part of this very same thing, Maya's world. So you saw where things have gone wrong. Right? So that is the problem what Krishna is saying here. Eshoham Anyoham. This is the problem with this Eshoham Anyoham. As soon as this separation has come, then it is very difficult to get to know the truth, Krishna is saying. You will never get the truth, he says. Because you are separated yourself through your bodily identification from the one thing that existing, Atma. So everything broken altogether. So your so-called knowledge is all ignorance, Krishna is saying. In ignorance, you are blurring something. You are talking nonsense, Krishna is saying like that. So you can see from individuality, the subjectivity has come. And he started looking at it objectively on the other things. It is in that way all your knowledge is centered around and built upon this principle. Subject, object, subject, object. Scientists are doing the research. When they are doing the research, they are considering themselves separate from that, is it not? And they come to their certain conclusions and they are saying to us that I have found out this, I have found out this is the truth, that is the truth. And that truth is never the truth. The truth is changing every 50, 60 years. It's changing. What kind of truth is that if it is changing? Yesterday somebody was saying the earth is round. Next day somebody says it's flat. And then someone else says, no, no, it's round again. So this is not truth. This is not truth. And the reason for that is this. Eshoham Anyoham. It has come. Because it's Eshoham Anyoham idi Brahmena. It's a Brahmam. It creates an illusion in us. It's a very subtle thing what Krishna is talking about. Unless you give some time to, devote your time to understand this verse, you won't enjoy the beauty of that verse. Why did this happen to us? Eshoham Anyoham. Why did this happen? And that is what is, and more this Eshoham Anyoham, more avidya. more avidya. And that Krishna is saying here, it creates brahmam. Brahmam means a kind of illusion in that. And durandapare tamasi brahmandi. It is no good saying that Krishna is beautiful. And it's no good Krishna is looking very nice in the temple. We have to accept what Krishna is saying to us. Otherwise, it's all, Krishna will also laugh at us. And we will laugh at Krishna, Krishna will laugh at us as well. When Krishna is saying to us some things which is totally opposite to what we have been put into or trained up to think like that. And when Krishna is pointing out to us where things have gone wrong in life. The day we have started this deham mano matramimam grihitva mumaham ityandhadiyo manushyaha. He says the moment you have accepted the body as the identity which is not real, which is a product of the mind, you have got into trouble. And mamahamit andhadiyo manushyaha, that is an andham. Andha means blind. He's a blind person, Krishna is saying. Eshoham anyoham idi brahmena. Eshoham anyoham. Me and you. Me and you. Everywhere. And in that way, we are living in this world. Then he says, Krishna is saying, that life is durandavare tamasi brahmandi. That he is just rotating around in this world. In one body one time, another body in another time. And that is why Sudeva Goswami said to Parikshit, what did he say to him? Pashabuddhi mimam jahi. He says there, isn't it? Pashabuddhi that is. Which one? Eshoham anyoham. That is Pashabuddhi, animal's buddhi it is. That is why he said that. Remember, in self-realization, whereas Sukadeva Goswami, how is he walking around in this world? His presence is not like us, is it? What did he say? Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi. He is present in everyone. That is his state of consciousness. When Sudeva Goswami, about Sudeva Goswami says that, isn't it? Yam pravrajandam anubedam abeda krityam dvaibayano virahakadarama juhavam putredi denmaidayattaravo bhinedu tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi. That is his state. That is why he is saying to Parikshit, Pashubuddhim imam jahi. Tomtu rajan marishedi Pashubuddhim imam jahi. That is Pashubuddhi. It is that Pashubuddhi, animal intelligence, is what Krishna is talking about here. Eshoham anyoham. Parikshit says, no, that is gone. That is why he told him, Najadaha. In the next verse, you can see in the 12th chapter, Najadaha pragabhute dhyom. Deham mantu nashyasi. Only body will go. Body will go, you don't go. You are that one supreme power, the absolute truth, Atma. Atma is you. So till we come to that state of Atma, all these realizations are difficult. All these realizations are difficult. But still, we must read Ekadasha Skandam, because what is spoken in the Ekadasham is the absolute truth. What Krishna has spoken. And if you constantly read these verses, hear about them, chant these verses, it will have if not in this life, and some life, there is some hope to happen. Because truth is something, is by acceptance that it shows its power. By acceptance. Not by your intelligence. It's by acceptance. And acceptance happens when you have faith in Krishna is strong, and what Krishna says, if you are willing to live with that. Otherwise it's not. Because it's very difficult in the modern world to tell people to say anything against the science. First of all, you have to prove everything in scientifically, they'll say to you. So how can you prove this scientifically? Tell me. Who can prove this scientifically? What possibility is there to prove this scientifically? So because it cannot be proved scientifically, they will reject it. There's no point in giving all this Bhagavatam to scientists. It cannot help them. Because they haven't got any understanding about it. If you ask the rishis, they will tell you that they are the people who have experienced that. They can talk about it, but not otherwise. So, that's that. So, one thing Krishna is mentioning here, that durandavare tamasi brahmandi, the problems have started from there. Problems have started from there. So, till now, Krishna has spoken that mind is the cause of all the problems. All the problems caused by the mind. And from now on, in 6 verses, that is 51, 52 onwards, 51 onwards, that means till 50, including 56, 51 to 56. These 6 verses, Krishna is going to again stress something what is already spoken. That means earlier Krishna said that people are not responsible for the problems. People are not responsible for the problems. He also said demigods are not responsible. Isn't it? Nayam janome. First verse. Sugadukka hedu na deva dalma graha karmam kalam. Krishna said all those things before. That Krishna is going to take each one of them individually and show to us why they are not responsible. In that first verse, Krishna said, Devada, Alma, Graham, Karmam, Kalam, in different ways. Now, from now on, Krishna will say these things, that each one of them, he will take them separately, individually, and explain to us why they are not responsible. None of them are responsible. In a little bit more detail, Krishna is going to talk about that. So, Janastu Hedum, Sukaduk, this is first he is talking about people. Those who think that others are responsible for the problems. Janastu Hedu, Sukadukka Yoschel Kimal, Manastatra Havoma Yostel, Jihuam Kojil, Samdashadi Sodal Bil, Tadvedanayam, Kutamaya Kapied. Janastu Hedum, Sukadukka Yoschel Kimal, Manastatra Havoma Yostel. Jihuam kojil samdashadi sodal bhi sadvedanayam kadamaya kapyel. Krishna is saying like this. He says that suppose if I accept that others are responsible for my distress in this world. Sukha dukhayo jano hedusche tatra almana hakim. He says that suppose I accept that principle. Krishna says that others are responsible for my distress, for my problems. There also, Krishna says that Atma is neither karta nor bhokta. Neither karta nor bhokta. Therefore, what happens? Taud bhaumayo eva bhavati. Because kartrutva bhoktrutvam is only in relationship with the body, isn't it? Kartrutva bhoktrutvam is in relationship to the body. But if it comes this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, if you take that, if it has come from the soul, that means kartrutvam bhoktrutvam means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If it comes to Atma, come to the soul, how can it be correct? Because the one who is giving trouble and the one who is experiencing trouble, their Atma is one. There is no two. Atma is only one. So, then who is giving trouble to whom? That's Krishna's point. Nobody is giving any trouble to anybody. Krishna is seeing this from the spiritual side. As Atma, the same technique Krishna used in the 13th chapter also. You remember when he discussed Hamsa Gita? That's exactly what Krishna said to them. If it is on the spiritual platform, where is this difference between you and me? You are also the soul inside you, it's the same soul inside me. They are not two different souls. And Krishna has confirmed that in the Bhagavad Gita that Atma cannot be broken. Is it not? Krishna mentions there that what is that? Nainam chindadi shastrani nainam dahadi pavaga. You cannot cut it into pieces. Isn't it? Nashosha yadi maruhya. That they can't water moist. You cannot moist it. Wind cannot dry it. While talking about Atma, Krishna has spoken things about the nature of the soul. Soul is never broken. Never. It can never be broken. So, here, on the same principle, Krishna is saying to us that Janastu hedu sukadukha yoschel kimalpmanas tatraha bhauma yosthal. That if it is like that, that Krishna is saying here, that if you accept this principle that others are responsible for your happiness and distress, How come Alpa, who is neither karta nor bhokta, they are only in relationship with the body? And if it comes and if we start talking about Alpa in that way, then Alpa is the same one who is giving trouble and one who is experiencing the trouble. So where is the, there is no question of getting angry about it, he's saying here. And he gives this example, Jikhvam kojil samdashadi sodadbhi tadvedanayam kutamaya kapyel. This is a very nice example. For example, suppose somebody has given a good feast and you are sitting there and enjoying the feast. And because of your intense desire to eat all this tasty food, you started eating fast. In that process, you bit your own tongue with your own teeth. You have bit your own tongue with your own teeth and you feel the pain. Can you complain to anybody? Can you blame the man who is serving the prasadam? Can you blame the person who has cooked the food? You won't complain to anybody, isn't it? It happens sometimes. I don't know about you, it happens to me. That's all I can say, tell you. That when you have a nice feast, because of the intense desire to eat, enjoy that feast, you eat in such a way that, or suppose some, let's put it this way, there's a feast going on. And in the feast, you know the best things, gulab jamuns is limited number only. And he's keep on coming distributing. So what will you do? You'll eat all the gulab jamuns first. Because when he comes by the next time, you will get your service again done. Suppose you decide to keep gulab jamun for the late after eating all your rice or vegetables or whatever it is. By the time gulab jamun comes, it will run out. He has run out. The stock was limited. It is at that time you bite your tongue with your teeth by mistake, because in that rush to eat, in the greed to eat, it has gone in and you have bitten your tongue. And you have bitten your tongue. So, with your own greed, with your own tongue, with your own teeth, you have bitten that. You can't complain, can you? You won't complain the man that who is bringing gulab jamun to you. You'll keep your shout. Sometimes even the blood will come out from inside because you have bitten so hard in there. So Krishna is asking that same question to us. Jihvam kochil samdashadi sodadbhi tadvedanayam katamaya kapyen. That whom will you get angry with if it has happened? Because kartrutva bhoktrutvam is deha dharmam. It is not in the alma. When any kartrutva bhoktrutvam happens, it is a deha dharmam. Because you have identified with the body, that is why you have kartrutva bhoktrutvam. You see, kartrutva bhoktrutvam has come because of identification with the body. Otherwise, it is not there. In other words, Krishna is saying that even to please others, if you have accepted this, there is no justification in getting angry. There is no justification in getting angry. That is the point Krishna is making there. So we'll continue with that verse tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.